Blog Talk Radio.
Mama told me, yeah, like Paisley. Mama told me, yeah, yeah, come on. My mama told me, one day I'ma grow up big and I'ma be a king. And my papa told me, it's okay to sit with shit hurts. Don't forget your dreams, cause they'll get you through it. So-called life, they call living, but I call it strange. And I bet I'll do it, cause I'm on my way. It's strong enough that yeah. I can shake the pain.
Hey, Mr. Sunshine, Mr. Rainstorm, meet me in the conference room, we need to brainstorm. Meet the middle ground, need an even keel. But you're a war, pick a side, give me fever chills. Think I'm broke, like my flu shot broke. I need to give him things to keep me out of that moat. My head above water, thoughts of those lost this week. All the tragedies stay on repeat, like we can't shake shit. I can't speak on it, fist to the sky, but I can't beat on it. Drinking my cup, so I'm gonna sip on them. Can't lose, probably piss, you can't dip on them. All these levels of these relative problems and benevolence sellers.
Hey, 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 this is the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast, and we are live and heard around the globe, and we are back. We are back with a vengeance. This is the, I guess, the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show strikes back. We are back, and we're going to do some damage. We're going to continue what we talked about on the last episode about the God debate, but we're also going to talk about, ex-Christians or non-believers that are having trouble with their old Christian friends or family members, and where's this anger coming from? So that's what we want to talk about today, and we kind of try to cover that among other things, among other topics. And we have a guest on the show today, Stickman from Stickman Radio, Matt from Stickman Radio. I guess that's one and the same. He's going to be on the show. We're gonna shake it up a bit. Hopefully, we'll get a bunch of callers to call in. Maybe Matt has brought in some of his crew, his Christian crew, and to kind of like help him out, because he's definitely going to need it. So, let me welcome my lovely co-host. I just started walking the door. Auntie Atheist, is that you? Auntie Atheist.
I'm here.
Yay!
Can you hear me? You can hear me.
I can definitely hear you.
Yay!
I can definitely hear you. So,
am I too loud?
No. To me, you're just right. Just
okay,
right. Just like the three little bears,
Yay.
Not too loud, not too soft, just right.
Just right.
Just right. So we have got a show, and we have people on the board. I'm trying to see who do we have here on the board that's calling in. Let me see here. Let me go to a call here and see. Well, let me get out the phone number so people can if they want to participate, they can call in. The number is 347-202-0492. I have to make certain not to give up my home phone number. So they'll be calling in. My phone will ring. I say, oh, I got a phone call. Wait a minute. No, we can't put you on air that way. So let me guess here. Let me see who is this right here on 215. This might be one of our buddies. Hello, who is this?
It's Jen. Hi.
Jen. JT.
Jen.
Yay. Hey. How you guys been?
We've been great. We've missed you.
I missed you, too. I tried to call in that other time, and I hit the one, and oh.
I don't know what happened. That must have been my fault. I'm sorry, Jen. I'm so sorry.
I was like, what happened? And there was Anti-Atheist giving an interview, and I, it was funny listening to her experiences in college as a streaker. And,
They call her the streak. Boogity, boogity.
I was driving from somewhere, and I was like, I can't keep dialing.
I don't know what.
That's bad, so.
I know. I don't know what happened.
No.
I don't know. I know I was away from the board for a bit. Joe and I went into the green room to grab something to eat, and I wasn't watching the board, so maybe it happened during that time. I don't know.
I know. I didn't take it personally. I didn't think you were trying to ban me from the show or anything.
No, never.
I didn't feel like hearing my voice.
Never. You don't come on the show enough.
Yay, but I'm here. Yay!
And what a coincidence. What a coincidence. Remember last time you were here, we had a big debate about certain questions in the Bible, and you had some questions for Stickman, and Stickman had some questions for you, and he came back on the show, and you weren't there, and you came back on the show, and he wasn't there. So today, we got both you guys on the show. And,
okay, great.
So this should be very eventful, and hopefully we got people listening from all walks of life around the globe. And I send out messages to all the groups that I'm involved with. So if you're at your computer, you know, invite some other groups to come in. I did invite black non-believers to the show, and hopefully and see, last show we were supposed to have Otis on the show. And I talked to Otis today, and he had some type of a crisis in his family, so he couldn't come on.
Okay.
So he did.
Well, hopefully things are okay, you know, with his
family.
Yeah,
they're getting away. I think it's one of his relatives that had an issue. So it wasn't him personally, but I think he was affected, though. But I talked with him, and I just texted him. I said, "Are you going to come on?" And he said, "What time?" So I sent him the time. So who knows how this is going to work out. So we are going to get this show on the road. We're going to bring Stickman in a bit, but I think we have Auntie's favorite partner on, the Hampton Artwork. He doesn't have his hand up, but I don't care. We're going to bring him into the room.
He's
and
so
see
shy.
What's up. Yeah, I know. He's a little shy. Yeah. Joe, is that you or is that someone
no.
else? No. See, no. He's got a mask on. So I'm waiting for – I'm hoping that Stickman brought his crew, and I was trying to get Otis in to be part of the crew, kind of like give him a fighting chance to debate the Bible. And I'm hoping maybe we get some callers to come in. Maybe some callers will call in that who loves the Bible. Maybe they're callers.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just forwarded your
link
URL your link to my group. So I just said, hey, feel free to call it now. So hopefully
if it's your group, you won't help Stickman. If it's your group.
Oh yeah.
It won't help Stickman. But let's see here. We're gonna bring Stickman in here. I'm sure that's him because he's waiting so patiently and he's in the chat room. Hopefully he's enjoying the snacks. We put a lot of snacks in the chat room for all our Christians because they're going to need, and a bunch of crying towels. We load up crying towels in the chat room for any Christians that want to show up. So we're going to bring Stickman here in a minute. But Jan, did you know Joe? Did you say hello to Joe?
Hey Joe, how are you?
Wow, that was all. That was very warm and it just. You could just feel the warmth in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I brought a tear to my eye.
How are things on the ranch in Montana? What's good? What's going on, Joe?
Your greeting was good enough. You don't have to have any enthusiasm in it. Just be yourself. That's fine. Don't have to worry about Ken saying, can't you put any warmth in it? It's like...
Joe, he don't need no stinking warmth.
That's true. I don't need no stinking warmth.
Let's bring Stickman on.
What's the weather like over there? It's a monsoon over here in Pennsylvania.
It's nice.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's always nice in Pennsylvania. In Montana. It's always
it
nice.
It is nice in Montana. It's not as cold as people think.
How many heads of cattle do you have, Joe?
I have sheep. I don't have cows.
Oh, my goodness. You're not intimate with your sheep, are you?
I'm really into sheep.
Knee deep in the sheep.
I am so into sheep.
Oh man!
Let me tell you, I am so into my sheep. Love me. That's how much into sheep.
Your sheep love you. Do they call you daddy?
Love me.
Do they call you daddy?
Oh, they absolutely do.
let's bring Stickman in here. I know he's like biting the bit. So, Stickman, welcome to the fruit. How you doing?
You know what? Thank you, Ken. And you know, Joe, we've had our opportunities to speak, but now it's really scary to know you. To know that you're as friendly as you are with your sheep. And Jen, what a pleasure. And that was, actually, I would have anticipated a greeting like that for me, but not for Joe. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Great. Thank you for coming on. Did you bring your crew with you?
Actually, I'm glad, you know, it's it's funny that you say that. I do not have it, and I can hear Joe right now. Matt, get to the point. I find it very, I want to say discouraging, I want to say troubling, because you're right. I was listening to last week's show, and so many that want to profess the title Christian, they're just a bunch of cowards, and it bothers me, it troubles me. However, I have two of my friends, my mentors, Mark Cahill and Ray Comfort. Ray is actually on tour right now, and he is going to try about 9:30 to give us a call and to call in and to kind of give me some backup. I want to make something very, very clear. It is not going to be my intent to convert any of you, and that's not my job. My job one of the things that I love doing with this show is you and Joe and Jen and Anti-Atheist, we can have these discussions and I can leave the conversation feeling blessed just to know you guys and just with the opportunity to be able to give my thoughts. And for me to also to be open-minded to listen to what you guys have to say, even though I would hope that you guys wouldn't expect to convert me, I don't expect to convert you guys because there is nothing that I could say that would change your mind, and I respect that. I respect the fact that
we're going to convert you, Matt. We're going to convert you, Matt. You're going to be part of us. You can be one of us. One of us.
Yeah. But anyway, to make a long story short, I want to thank you guys for letting me come on and give my point of view, and hopefully my team will be here. But to be honest with you, I'm ready to go it alone. I know you guys are going to enjoy beating me up, but that's okay. I'm cool.
I'm trying to get you some help. Like I said, like we spoke earlier, like you emphasized, it is very hard to get Christians or believers to come on and take up for what they believe.
Good Christian backup is hard to find.
Isn't it? Man.
Yeah.
You turn around and you're alone.
Yeah.
All you see is dust. You turn around.
Yeah. And you know what? I tell you, Ken, that's what when I sent an email out to about four guys that really, really wanted to really say that they would love the opportunity to talk to a bunch of atheists, I called them. I said, okay, here's your opportunity. Three of them never returned my call. And one emailed me back and said, well, Matt, it's got to be the right time. And what?
The moons have to be aligned and all the stars have to be in place.
The lunar alignment.
Lunar alignment is...
So I'm already batting 0-3 or 0-4 right now, so not a very good start.
I mean, I'm batting 0-3 as well. I try to get three Christians on the phone, and I'm 1-4 because you came on, and there's about three others that just kind of like one said he would come on, and he's still not on, and one almost cursed me out, almost, and then another person wanted to have no part of it, so.
I find something very, very interesting, and it's going to tie into your topic tonight. You know, these ones that say that they're Christian, they'll be the quickest one to turn things around and really get aggravated and get angry and even get to the point where they want to cuss. I mean, Christians today make me want to cuss. I mean, really. I mean, it is just absolutely absurd.
It is. I mean, where are these people? They're in their mind, in the arena, in the church. They're jumping up and down, spinning around, and shouting the Holy Ghost and falling out. And they get outside of that building and approach a non-believer or atheist. They get tongue-tied. They run. What's up with that?
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Ken. The best explanation, I mean, I by no means can say that I know what's in their heart, but I can tell you that they're a product of a false gospel. They're a false convert. And no disrespect.
I thought you were going to say a false god for a second.
No. Well, you know what? You could go that far because I'm going to tell you something, Ken. There are some Christians that profess to be Christian and they support abortion or they support same-sex marriage, and that's just doesn't make any sense. So they've created a god to suit themselves, one that they're more comfortable with. So in reality, yeah, they are serving a false god. But in the whole aspect and swing of things, I do have something that you might find interesting. The last time that I was blessed to be on your show, I actually, about a day later, I got a message, and I wanted to email it to you, so I'm going to copy it and send it to you in an email. It's from a guy named Ryan McGregor. You actually have a listener in St. Bart's, wherever St. Bart's is. Okay, and this is what he said. He said, "Hey, Matthew, a pleasant day to you, sir. I just finished listening to a blog radio called The Forbidden Fruit, where you were having some discussions with some atheists, agnostics, non-believers, and I am truly encouraged by the way how you dealt with the situation. I just wanted to encourage you to continue to live for God and continue to be an example for us, more specifically, me, a younger Christian. After listening, I decided that I wanted to search for you and encourage you. So I'm leaving this scripture verse with you from John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I will definitely be praying for you, sir. Continue to live for God, Mr. Senge. God bless." So, and his name is Ryan McGregor, if you want to find him on Facebook. I found that so many people, after I did that interview, because we actually played that show on our show, and we got a lot of response from him. They said, "Matt, why would you even waste your time? Why would you even try to bang heads? I said, "Why would I waste my time? Jesus said, if you love your neighbor, then you love your neighbor. You can't pick and choose how you love." And I think this is really going to tie in. That's why I wanted to come on this show tonight, because there are so many Christians out there that want to profess love but actually hate. And they're not Christian at all. And for that, I want to apologize to the entire community of either non-believers or atheists or agnostics. I have my own view of the atheist. I don't think that there is even such a thing as an atheist. But that's my own view, and I don't want to continue to babble. So, but I wanted to give that to you before we started the show tonight, as an answer to some that are listening to tonight's show of why I take the time to come on to your guys' awesome show. I love it. It's a great show. You've got great guests. You've got Joe. You've got Jen. You've got Auntie Atheist, even though she doesn't like me too much. I love all you guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, Stickman. We love you. I wish if every Christian felt the way you did about certain issues, and they weren't so closed-minded, and they wanted to affect other people's lives by their views, there probably wouldn't be much of an issue against atheists or non-believers against Christians. Sometimes they overextend their beliefs into other areas that affect so many other people.
And I agree with you. I mean, we have Christians today that will, like you said, that will sit in the church on Sunday waving their hands, flopping around like a fish, going down to an altar call, having no idea why they're going down there. And then they leave the building, put a beer in their hand, get in their car, drink and drive, and then stick their finger out the window and cut somebody out who just cut them off in traffic.
Exactly. And that's what I was amazed at, because the person I reached out to on Facebook was a friend of mine in church. And so we had a, a banter back and forth where we'd like tease each other about certain sporting events or sporting teams, whatever. So we had, he's a very funny guy. And so I thought he would be a good it would be a good guy to come onto the show, and we would just debate friendly, like you and I debating friendly. You know, we're not going to leave hating one another. And so I offered him this opportunity, and he just went off. You know, he does not have to debate his God to nobody. And that, you know, he knows that there is a God, and he doesn't have to, you know, debate that to anybody. And he said, leave it alone. And he just, I mean, he said all this without cursing, but I mean, he could have used some curse words. And this was a text back and forth, and I was very surprised at his attitude about that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the word Christian is no more synonymous with honorability or intelligence these days any more than police officer is. I mean, I know as a police officer, when I was a cop, I did things beyond imagine or beyond imagination. Nowadays, that title Christian doesn't hold. It's worth nothing. Because I think it was Jen or anti-atheist. It might have been Joe. I'm not sure.
Anti-atheist, not anti-atheist.
You caught my little euphemism there. That was good. That was good, Jen. That was good.
You
think
almost
it was Joe
looked
that
one
said,
by there, Stick Man. Yeah.
I almost did. I tried.
Yeah.
I think it was actually you, Joe, that said it's not atheists creating atheists these days, it's Christians. And you're absolutely
no,
right.
No, I didn't say that. No.
Somebody said it.
You
I
said
can't
that.
Remember.
You
who
said
it.
You said it, Matt.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But anyway, needless to say, but you know, so I love the topic. I think it's a great opportunity to come explain and come talk about the things of God, and also to also be a light in an area where so many self-professed Christians are nothing but darkness. And I find it very truly embarrassing to be a part of the church today, because I believe it's an embarrassment to a holy God. So, and there you go.
I can. I know what you're talking about, because I was in that, and I saw that firsthand. How it was basically people just going through the motions, just maybe paying their dues for their afterlife insurance.
Right.
And when they would get out, they wouldn't actually live what they learned or live what they taught or preach. And I was very disappointed in some of the people. And you would see. Sometimes you would see better people and people who were confessed atheists or non-believers than you would be that were in Christians, so supposedly Christian religions.
Right. Well, I would in rebut to that, I would say I wouldn't find better people, but I would find more intelligent people, because these Christians today can actually think. I had one just the other day. We launched a new Christian T-shirt company, and I was at an event, and I had a lady come up to me and said, "You know, you're just stupid." And I'm like, "Really?" And she had a Christian fish on her shirt. And she said, "What in the world makes you?"
It was a piranha.
No, but she said, "What in the world makes you think that our God of love would create a place of hell that would punish any of us?" So I said, "So Adolf Hitler is sitting up in heaven in a mansion eating bonbons, right?" And she said,
yeah.
"Well." You know, you just don't make any sense. I said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in moral absolutes?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "In any circumstance, is rape right? Is rape okay?" And she said, "Well, of course not." So then, well, you just made an absolute statement. You, in no circumstance is rape okay. And I think we brought this up with Joe, and Joe, forgive me if I'm wrong again. But did we talk about this subject the last time I was on the show? The fact that in some cultures,
I think we're
going to
be
maybe
talking about it today with my sheep.
Oh, good grief!
As long as it's consensual,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, well, they love it, like I said.
Good grief!
Wow.
Well, at least it's not goats.
goats and sheep.
Goats and sheep, hey.
But, you know, she was just very indignant in the very fact, very thought that, I mean, she could believe in God and that God will not punish for sin. And so I told her, I said, if you were in a courtroom and you were looking at the defendant that just raped and killed your mother, and the judge said, you know what, I'm going to pass sentence, but I love you, so you're free to go, what would you do? And she said, well, I'd kill him myself. But it's not our place to make. And then she said, but it's not our place to make a judgment. I said, well, you just made a judgment. You just said that you would kill him yourself. If a judge didn't hold to morality and hold to moral sensibility and pass judgment. I said, well, if that is man's judgment, how much more, whether we believe it in or not, how much more would, if God truly exists, is he going to hold us to? You know what I'm saying? So, anyway.
So we're going to kill him.
I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Okay, I remember there's some questions on the table. Jen had some questions for you. I don't know if she remembered them or not. Maybe you do remember them, Matt. Matt ended up answering the question or attempting to answer the question about Adam and Eve and how come, you know, they had three sons and somehow the boys married wives. And we was wondering, where did these wives come from? And I think were trying to explain. Like Joe likes to hear me say, where are these mystery bitches from?
Yeah, where are these mystery bitches from?
Right. And Jen, you know, my humble thoughts on this subject, where did Cain get his wife?
Who?
And many we were talking about where did Cain get his wife,
oh, okay.
Right? That
okay.
was one of the questions that she had asked me.
Okay.
No, I didn't ask that.
I asked you that. Jen has some very... She has some harder questions for you, but that was one of my questions. I was concerned. I even played, I played a clip on that, and we were trying to figure out where did these women come from. I even had a song that I wanted Jen to sing. To the tune of the Brady Bunch. But he was trying to figure out Where did they find these wives? Did you ever get to the bottom of that, Matt?
The question that I thought that you had asked, and I don't remember Jen asking me that question. So
That was me. I asked you that question.
Oh, where did Cain get his wife?
Yeah, we was curious. Where did she come from? I mean, you can cover that real quickly if you want to. We can move to the next question.
Okay. Yeah. The way I look at it is, again, I want to try not to use circular reasoning. I want to try not to go back to the Bible. But the only reference point on this issue is the Bible. So just bear with me. Scripture confirms that Adam is the first man, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15:45, excuse me. That Adam was the only human before Eve was created because God said, it is not good that man should be alone in Genesis 2:18. And that Eve is the mother of all living, Genesis 3:20. With only Adam and Eve as the only parents of all humanity, Cain and Abel then must have married their sisters. All of the first generation siblings married each other in order to populate the earth. At that time, there was no law against incest because the genetic line was so pure in the beginning that there was no problem with inbreeding. But as population grew large enough, and as the risk of genetic problems increased due to sin's curse, God outlawed marriage between immediate family members, and that's in Leviticus 18:6-8. So that is the best answer that I can provide. You guys may find that very troubling, but that... I'm just me. I'm just a humble little guy that certainly is not a Bible scholar, but that would be my response to that question.
Let's see if my crew has any rebuttal to that.
Doesn't that kind of blow the idea of moral absolutes out of the water?
I don't know.
Is incest always wrong? Apparently not.
Isn't incest always wrong? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously, I think what we just said was in the beginning it wasn't wrong.
Well, you know, when you say is rape always wrong, and you said the right answer was, you know, of course it's always wrong. But yet there are many cases in the Bible where, you know, God condones rape.
Really?
Yeah, in 2 Samuel 12, where he was punishing the house of David, and he said, I'll take your wives while you live to see it, and I'm going to give them to your neighbor, and he's going to lie with them in broad daylight.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a couple of times he tells his people that, you know, yeah, take the little girls who are virgins and enjoy the spoils of your plunder.
Okay. And so my and I'm assuming this is anti-atheist, and I'm going to assume that that we both read the definition of rape out of the Webster's Dictionary. But to go even deeper, I'm going to use the criminal code from Mississippi, where I was a police officer. Rape is the forcible sexual act against one's will. That's rape. So I don't think anywhere in the Bible it says that a man forcibly forced himself upon a woman without her consent. So that would be my response to that question.
So you really don't...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Auntie. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just find that
if you want to, you might want to look this up later.
Okay.
But check out Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 27.
Okay. You said chapter 22, 25 through 27?
Yep.
All right, I'll do that while you guys are talking on another issue, and I'll kind of give you some feedback before the show's over. How about that?
Great. Don't run away.
Go anywhere, I assure you.
So incest, maybe it's acceptable in certain states. Maybe Alabama, it's okay for incest to be there. I don't know.
Well, I'm not. No, what Tennessee. I said was I think answering the original question, I think that after the first generation, I think my answer said after the first generation,
right,
God outlawed it because of the curse of sin. So
would incest be okay again right after the Great Flood?
Would
it
be
been.
Okay after
he must have brought it back. He must have brought it back.
Well, I can tell you the scripture. I don't know.
Back by popular demand. Incest.
You guys are nuts, man. You guys are crazy.
I don't know of it
saying that. So I can only.
Well,
can you know me?
Oh, but it happened. It had to happen. You had one family on that boat.
Okay.
Unless they were messing around with sheep, you know, Joe. But anyway.
Leave my sheep alone.
But it had to be incest on that boat.
Let my sheeple go.
That's right.
Okay. Hey, Ken, let me interject because Jen asked a great. She brings up Deuteronomy 25:27, and what it says is, "But if out in the country a man happens to meet a young woman pledged to be married and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die. Do nothing to the woman; she has committed no sin deserving death." So, Jen, I'm not seeing the correlation from that. So basically, God is saying that man will be punished with death. But bring no sin against the woman.
But he's allowing it to happen.
Hold on, let me finish. But he's not allowing it to happen. I want to try not to make this show about free will, because we just don't agree on the perspective of free will. I know what Joe's position on it is, and I don't agree. I know what my position is. And for the most part, from what you and anti-atheists have said, I know kind of where you guys stand on that free will thing, okay? And so many people, to take this into nowadays, so many people have said to me, well, Matt, you know what, how can I have faith in a God that allows children to die? Or how can I have faith in God that allowed my wife to get cancer and die, okay? The fall of man brought sin. And that, it has infected our gene pool. It has infected this world, okay? God allows these things to happen. Yes, he does, okay? Not because he's a cruel, insensitive being. But he uses these things to bring us closer to him. Uh-huh. Do I think that I never wanted to go to prison, especially as a police officer. I didn't want to go to prison. That was how can a God that says he loves me so much that he gave his own son for me, but yeah, he's going to send me to prison, or he's going to make me broke, or he's going to make me be homeless, or he's going to do all these things. When are we going to realize, okay, and again, I'm not trying to convert, but when are we going to realize that it's our own lack of knowledge and pride that is getting in the way? And that's my humble thoughts. You guys may not, I'm sure you guys don't agree, but that's just my humble thoughts, okay? God, it's not God's fault. How can we blame God for something happening in a school when we kicked them out of school?
Well,
we don't want them. I don't want them in school.
We don't. Sloan, you're making an assumption that God was kicked out of school. Number one, this entity does not exist.
Right.
Number two, people have the right to have whatever belief they want to have or
That's
pray
right.
or whatever they want to do in school in reference to this entity that they believe in, you know,
okay.
or they believe, if they believe that this entity exists, they can pray in school. You know, there's nothing that says a God was kicked out of school.
Okay, now hang on, Jen.
You're cutting me off. You're cutting me off.
But you're not making a true statement. You're not making a true statement
you're
at all.
You're not making a true statement.
Jen, do you need me to show you court decisions?
Where is there anything that says that if you believe in a God, your God is kicked out of school?
Okay, Jen, if you want to take me literally, let me be very articulate, okay? In Florida, there's been 17 cases in the last 6 months where a student has brought in a Bible and they've told him either to remove it or they've confiscated it, and there's been one suspension because a child prayed in school. Okay, so
not
if you want to get now, okay, now
let's
okay, listen. And I, by no means do I do any glory and honor to this God that you say doesn't exist by arguing. Okay, I know that you're very indignant with me. You don't like what I have to say, and I respect that. But all I ask is that we can have a friendly debate, not one that one wants to talk over the other or one wants to manipulate or monopolize the conversation. I don't like stepping on you. But when you make an untruthful statement, okay, I want to interject. But forgive me, just as I did. Okay, right. Forgive me for interrupting you. Okay. Now, go ahead, proceed. Okay. All I asked you to do, okay, because I found that you were the most hostile towards me the last time that we had a conversation. All I'm asking you to do. I have no desire, nor do I have any intention to try and convert you. I promise you, okay?
There's no hostility on my end. If you make an untrue statement, I simply called you on it, and then you're saying that you're calling me on an untrue statement.
We don't agree. Yeah.
I won't cut you off, but don't expect that if you're going to be on the show, that if you make untrue statements, you're not going to be called on it.
Okay, but Jen, let me tell you something. I'm not making an untrue statement. If you would like me to cite the court cases in the chat panel, I'll be more than happy to do that.
What you're about to cite in reference to court cases has nothing to do with God, a God.
How does it not? If you can't pray in school, if you can't read the Bible in school, if you can't practice your religion in school, how does it not have anything to do with God? That's what I don't understand.
Where is God? Is God in the book? Is he like in, within you from your definition of God? I mean, God is not he's not in a building. He shouldn't be in a book. He should be in you. What if you were left somewhere on an island? You had no books, no Bibles, no church. Would you have no God?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. My God, the creator of this universe, okay, is in my heart. He lives in my heart. So am I going to sit here and say that I don't need the Bible? The Bible to me is a reference point. The Bible to me is a guidepost. The Bible to me is instructions. Okay.
So how do you throw God out of school? How do you throw God out of school if he's self-contained in you? All these exterior things seem like they shouldn't have any connection. Well, not connection, but you shouldn't need them to have your religion, your God, for your God to protect you. It shouldn't be where I'm only going to protect you in the school if you have that book in school or if you have a cross in school.
Okay, I got you, and that's a good point. And Jen, let me apologize because that is a good point. So now if I open my mind and see it from your point of view, you're absolutely correct. I mean, God is not kicked out of the school because how can he be kicked out if he's in my mind? I would probably change my articulation and say that the practicing of a religious act, let's say praying, let's say reading the Bible in a classroom, has been all but outlawed, at least in the state of Florida. So really, that's the only. I'm going to have to narrow the scope down tremendously. And just say from where I am at in the Tampa area that there has been numerous cases that Bibles have been removed from students. Students have been asked not to pray in public inside the school. Teachers have rebuked students for expressing or talking about God in the classroom. So in the very wide, broad spectrum, God is being kicked out of schools because they are being limited in what they can and can't do.
Well, I do believe that public school time should be devoted to, subjects that are paid for by public tax dollars rather than, peculiar religious beliefs, unless they're going to be teaching all religions. And I think that that might be actually worthwhile.
That's a lot
to have
of religion.
A class that that touches on all the beliefs of all different a bunch of different major religions. But I mean, really, the whole idea of praying in public, didn't Jesus tell people not to do that anyway?
Okay.
In the book of Matthew.
I'm sorry. That is a great point. That is an absolutely great point.
If you're going to pray, go in your closet. Do it in private. Keep it to yourself. Okay. Don't make a public spectacle out of yourself.
And
you're just showing
off. You're exactly right. You just hit the nail on the head. He examines the motives. If you are going to go out and make a spectacle of yourself, or you want to go out to the street corner, which I see so, especially in the Bible Belt, down here, I mean, we in Tampa, there's Ybor City, and you've got these knuckleheads that will stand on the street corner in Ybor City next to these nightclubs, and they will shout and yell and scream and throw the Bible in your face, but they're doing exactly what Jesus told them not to do.
So what's the big deal about public prayer?
What is the big deal?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. I think this is just my humble perspective on this. Okay? The country is not getting any better. This world is going to hell in a handbag, no pun intended. Okay? We have pastors raping congregation members. We have men going in, killing little children. We have women locking their kids in their car and driving them into the ocean, as just happened in Daytona Beach, saying that they were possessed by demons. This world, what is wrong? What is wrong? If in fact, let's say, Auntie, that you're walking down the street and you see me praying. If you don't believe in the God of this universe, the one that created this universe, in my opinion, why does it bother you if I'm praying in public? Because it would be the same thing as me believing in a basketball team winning the national championship that doesn't have LeBron James on.
Well, nobody is trying to stop people from praying individually. School time is not the time, for that kind of stuff to be going on. Now, if you want to post those court cases, I would be more than happy to do some, background reading and find out what it is you're talking about. I'd be interested in seeing those.
I'll be more than happy to do that before the end of the show.
Yeah, because if it's just some, a little kid or something sitting at their desk praying or something during study hall or whatever, I don't think you should shut that down.
And I agree with you. And I'm going to tell you the last incident happened 3 days ago. Okay, what's today? Tuesday? No, that's not true. It happened last Monday. And what happened was the kid was in the library, a high school student, a 10th grader. He was in the library on his own time. He had his Bible. He was out reading during free period. The teacher confiscated the Bible and told him there'll be none of that in this building. Now, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. If you're on your free time and it's your own personal Bible, you're not bothering anybody, I don't see an issue with it. It would bother me. I mean, you could be reading a lot worse.
Right.
Well, so that's up for debate.
Yeah, it is. I guess you're right about it. There's a lot going on in that book.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at it. You said no rape. Was it in Numbers? They captured war and the spoils of all the booty. And they say you kill the women who have slept with a man. But all the virgins who have not slept with a man, keep them for yourself.
Right. And again, the only way that I can look at that is in nowhere does it say that the women were kept against their will.
You don't think that?
Oh, come on. Dad,
come on.
Yeah. Nobody's
gonna... If I remember correctly, Ken, that's Numbers chapter 31, right?
Yeah.
You guys just understand that this is just my humble opinion. That's it. And my opinion meter.
Let me get a little clarification on this. You're saying that if invaders go to another country or to another village and they're there to rape and conquer and pillage, that the women that they capture weren't necessarily captured against their will.
No, that's not at all what I'm saying. And maybe I didn't articulate it correctly. Okay. So I'm gonna look at this from a legal standpoint. I'm gonna look at this from the definition of the law. Okay. If I go in and I am going to plunder a city, okay, and I'm instructed
already.
To take the wives that have I'm sorry, go ahead, Ken, what?
That's against you're against the, you've broken the law already. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to go in and I'm going to plunder, and I've been told to take the women that don't already attach to a man or the virgins or whatever you put up in front of me. So that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to yank them by the hair and say, I almost said a curse word, and said, woman, you're mine, and I'm put you in shackles and handcuffs and tie you to the bed and rape you over and over and over again. Okay.
Let me see if I can speed this up.
No,
for you. What you're saying is that if you do that, you're trying to take advantage of a generality loophole, as it were, and you're saying that the women that you will take, you took a survey beforehand, those women who want to go with you, they're going with you willingly, and the ones who don't go with you, they're the ones that are killed.
Joe, I don't have an answer for you. I'm sorry.
Let's take a survey.
I'm inept.
Right.
I am
who's
inept in that.
Yeah, who's in favor of being brought back? All you virgins, all of you in favor of being captured, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't see where these prisoners of war would have a choice. Like, it's either, what if they decide they don't want to go? Then what? You know.
Jen, I don't know. I wasn't back there in that time. I don't know. I certainly don't profess to have all the answers. I wish I did. You know, but if I had all the answers, I would be omniscient.
No, we're just questioning one particular person.
I'm still trying to figure out where Kane's wife came from.
Missy bitch.
Where is that Missy bitch of mine?
Jen, that was the best answer that I could give you. My only supposition would be that there must have been incest in that time. That would be my only educated guess, and it is a guess. At least I'm honest.
Man.
You know, I don't have all the answers.
Mm, that's funny.
I'm missing my Misty bitch.
Mm. Hey, where's my Misty bitch?
Where's my Misty bitch?
Hey, Ken, I want to ask Auntie Exius if she's heard of Jen. And not Joe yet, because I have a specific set of questions for Joe. But does the name Michael Pearl ring a bell?
Not at all.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and I've never heard of it, but somebody sent me this quote, and what I'd like to do is I want to read the quote, and then I just published an article in Christianity Today, and I'd like to read it, and then I want to get
looks like
I want to get
Claus.
Off. Your guys' feedback.
I pulled him up online. He looks like Santa Claus.
What did you say the quote from? Michael Kors?
Michael Pearl.
No, his name is Michael Pearl. And this is the article that I wrote is, I don't believe there is a God. I am an atheist. And the quote that I headlined or that I sub-headlined, the title was from this guy, Michael Pearl, and it said, when a man calls, and I mean no disrespect to Jen and anti-atheist when I'm saying this, when a man calls himself an atheist, he is not attacking God. He is attacking his own conscience. Now, I don't necessarily understand that. So I want to get you guys' feedback on that, but I'd like to read this article that I wrote, okay? If you don't mind, it's only two or three paragraphs.
Is the article in response to this? Is it in response to the quote, or are you just like, it's just sitting out there on its own?
It's my thought on that quote.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Okay, all right. So amazingly, it is human nature to assume that our believing or not believing something makes it true. Some people may not believe in the law of gravity and may feel that they have evidence to back up their belief. However, gravity exists whether they believe it or not. The truth is, God is knowable, Jesus testified, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, John 17:3. We not only have the testimony of Scripture to tell us this, but we have the testimony of multitude of Christians who know the Lord personally. It is more truthful to say, I don't want to know God. Sinful man runs from him as did Adam in the Garden of Eden. See, I don't believe in atheists. This isn't because I haven't met one who claimed the title, but because such a person cannot exist. If you encounter someone who claims to be an atheist, ask them these two questions. First, do you know the combined weight of all the sand on all the beaches of Hawaii? We can safely assume that he or she doesn't. This brings us to the second question. Do you know how many hairs are on the back of a full-grown male Tibetan yak? Probably not. Therefore, it is reasonable to conclude that there are some things he doesn't know. It is important to ask these questions because people think that they know everything. Let's say that the professing atheist knows an incredible 1% of all the knowledge in the universe. to know 100%, he would have to know absolutely everything. There would be a rock in the universe that he would not be familiar with, or a grain of sand that he would not be aware of. He would know everything that has happened in history, from that which is common knowledge to the minor details of the secret love life of Napoleon's great-grandmother's black cat's fleas. Every hair on every head, and he would thought, and every thought of every heart. All history would be laid out before him because he would be omniscient, all-knowing. Bear in mind that one of the greatest scientists who ever lived, Thomas Edison, said, "We do not know a millionth of 1% anything." And let's say that the atheist has an incredible 1% of all the knowledge in the universe. Would it be possible, in the 99% of the knowledge he hasn't yet come across, that there might be ample evidence to prove that God, the existence of God? One who is reasonable will be forced to admit that it is possible. Some the vast knowledge that he hasn't yet discovered, there could be enough proof that God does exist. Let's look at the same from another angle. If I were to make an absolute statement such as, there is no gold in China, what is necessary for that statement to be proved true? I would need absolute or total knowledge. I must know that there is no gold in any rock, in any river, in the ground, in any store, in any ring, or in any filling in any mouth in China. If there is one speck of gold in China, then my statement is false, and I have no basis for it. I need absolute knowledge before I can make an absolute statement. Conversely, for me to say there is gold in China, I don't need to have all knowledge. If there is, the statement is then true. To say categorically there is no God is to make an absolute statement. For the statement to be true, a person must know for certain that there is no God in the entire universe. No human being has all knowledge. Therefore, none of us is able to truthfully make this assertion. One who insists upon disbelief in God must say, having the limited knowledge that I have at present, I believe that there is no God. Owing to a lack of knowledge on his part, he doesn't know if God exists. So, in the strict sense of the word, one cannot be an atheist. The only true qualifier for the title is the one who has absolute knowledge. And why on earth would God want to deny his own existence? The professing atheist is actually what is commonly known as agnostic, one who claims he doesn't know if God exists, or one who professes ignorance. The Bible tells us that this ignorance is willful. The wicked in his proud countenance does not see God. God is in none of his thoughts, and that's in Psalms 10:4. It is not that a person can't find God, but that he won't. It has been rightly said that the atheist can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. He knows that if he acknowledges there is a God, he is admitting that he is ultimately accountable to him. This is not a pleasant thought for some.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. What's your gravity? Start off with gravity.
Okay.
Gravity can be tested and reproduced and proven time and time again. You can test gravity.
Okay.
God, your God thing is hearsay. You're talking about, well, Christians have testified and other people have testified. That's basically hearsay. They don't even
okay.
know personally. I mean, anybody who's testified, neither one can say they've seen God. We know that for a fact, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So, Go ahead.
Okay. So in the fact of gravity, yes, you are absolutely right. We can see it. We can feel it. We know that it exists because it's what holds us to the ground. Okay. So give me observable evidence of evolution, not microevolution, but evolution, a change of kinds. Is it observable?
No,
it's not.
You're moving the goalposts. Let's go back to gravity.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's finish that discussion. You were saying just because someone does not believe in gravity does not mean that gravity doesn't exist. And Ken made a valid point. Gravity is something that you can prove. It's predictable. It's repeatable.
Can you see it?
You can't do the same thing. You can't do the same thing with God.
Can you see gravity, anti-atheist?
There are a lot of things you can't see, but they are. Nevertheless,
can you see?
Can you see Tinkerbell?
Okay, Tinkerbell doesn't exist.
As far as you know,
you're making an absolute statement there.
I am making an absolute statement because I know that no man can see gravity.
Well, you were making an absolute statement about Tinkerbell.
Oh, okay. You're right. You're right. I was, and that was very arrogant of me, so I apologize.
We can't see electricity. Okay. All right.
Okay. We can see electricity. You see a lightning bolt, right? That's 50,000 volts.
That's not...
Joe, you believe in science, and you don't think
lightning is electricity. I thought the same thing. The definition of electricity. There's the claim that nobody's ever seen electricity. That's why I said that. Even though we've seen lightning bolts. So. But we can take that out of the equation. I think we'll give to you that nobody's seen gravity. Okay, so rolling on.
So if no one's seen gravity, how do we know that it exists? We have to have faith that it exists. How do we know?
You can see the effects of gravity. Just like you can see the effects of gravity.
Right.
But I guess my point is, how do we know that it's gravity? How do we know that it's not some alien creature underneath the ground holding us down by magnets? I mean...
All right, because as Audie said, it's replicatable, it's predictable. That's why I brought in electricity. You can channel it, you can harness it. It is something that is under our control. Therefore, even though we don't see gravity... we can predict the movements of the moon, its effects on the waves, the electricity. We harness it. We produce it through turbines. So that's a nice short answer. Okay.
And Joe, I do like that answer. So basically, you said because you can see it, and you can see its effects. You can see the effects of it. Then that's how you know that it exists. Correct.
And we channel it. We control electricity. And gravity we control to a particular point because of the space shuttle and because of the space stations. We do create gravity, yeah.
Okay, so we create gravity.
Right.
And also all of this thing happened out of some big explosion.
Huh?
Let's address all the points that you brought up. Okay.
Okay.
And not move the goalposts again.
Wasn't aware that I was moving the goalposts.
I mean, you brought up a whole new thing, which was evolution, and now you're bringing up the Big Bang, and let's go back and just address the things that you brought up and get those out of the way.
Okay. All right. So we're still talking about gravity then. My rebut to that is we can't see gravity, so I see no validity to the explanation of we can't see a God, so therefore he doesn't exist.
But there's nothing proven, repeatable, predictable about God.
Okay. Now, the only way that I can answer that, anti-atheist, is by going into the idea of the falseness of evolution. Can you create me a rose?
Well, evolution, there are plenty of atheists. I mean, I don't know about plenty. Maybe that's an overstatement. But you don't have to believe in evolution in order to be an atheist.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But in order to answer the question that you posed to me, I've got to bring up the subject of evolution. So you said that there's nothing repeated. We can't see anything to prove God's existence. So my statement to you would be, can you create me a rose?
No, I can't.
Why not? because you don't have the tools, right?
I'm not. That doesn't mean that somebody can't create a rose, though. I mean, good grief, they're creating human body parts.
Okay.
They're growing human tissue.
Okay. All right. So you say somebody can create a rose? Really?
Sure, it may
I'm
be
sure
very
possible.
Why not?
It's possible. What he's alluding to are stem cells creating human organs, therefore, and at some point in time, if not today, maybe a rose will be or has been created. Okay, so, Matt, your question is, can she create a rose? No, she can't. Okay, so let's go.
Okay, all right. Joe's in good spirits.
So your point is, you're trying to get us to say that God exists because there are things in our world that we can't create or that
we can't see. You know what? That's not my point. There is no amount of words, there is no amount of proof that I could give you that God exists. I can't.
We didn't figure you were going to be able to do that. That shouldn't be the issue or the debate, because you can't prove that he exists and we can't prove that he doesn't exist. But in all probability, from the evidence at hand, we have surmised that it's a great possibility that he does not exist.
We have no reason to believe that he does.
Okay, and that's where I get confused and troubled, because you have. You know what? Let me grab my notes, because I had to be ready for you guys. I had to take some notes. All right. So you look at this. Let me give you the human eye. It has 40 million nerve endings. The focusing muscles move in an estimated 100,000 times a day, and the retina contains 137 million light-sensitive cells. How could that be? Now, again, I'm going back to the theory of evolution, okay? But how could that just be created from nothing? There had to be an intelligent designer. There has to be. I mean,
no.
Really?
Yeah, the eye has evolved over millions and millions of years. In fact, some creatures during the eons have actually lost their eyes when they went to subterranean domains or whatever. There are fish or salamanders or something that all they have now are dents where their eyes used to be, because they no longer need them. It's pure blackness where they live.
I did not know that.
If you don't use it, you lose it, and that's evolution.
Yeah.
All right. So in that kind of analogy, the fact that the human brain. Now, you guys are some of the smartest people that I know. Okay, and that's saying a lot.
I don't know about that.
Okay. All right. But
I don't know
if
that's a good thing or a bad thing. They're saying
No. I mean that from the heart. I don't mean any disrespect for that.
We know.
I'm really trying to wrap my arms around the fact that I can sit here and say that I can prove God's existence every day. Okay, by the things that I see, Joe mentioned the tides. I mean, do we realize? And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know what degree it is, but I know it's a very minute degree. If we were so many feet or inches or miles closer to the sun, we would instantly burn up. If we were too far away, we would instantly freeze. Okay.
You know, scientists have said there have to be a convergence of factors in order to make a habitat like the Earth. Yeah, in order for us to have the kind of air, the kind of sea that would contain the kind of life that we have. Yeah, there would have to be a confluence of and a convergence of certain causative elements.
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm sure there is. And Auntie Atheist said it the best, and I'm really glad to hear it. She said, just because you're an atheist doesn't mean that you believe in evolution. Now, I mean, I gave somebody this analogy, and I don't know whether I mentioned it the last time we were on the show, but somebody said to me, I believe that we came from nothing. They basically believed in that Big Bang. So the evolution that I gave them was the theory of evolution of the Coca-Cola can. Billions of years ago, a Big Bang produced a large rock. As the rock cooled, sweet brown liquid formed on its surface. As time passed, aluminum formed itself into a can, a lid, and a tab. Millions of years later, red and white paint fell from the sky and formed itself into the words Coca-Cola, 12 fluid ounces. Now, of course, my theory is an insult to your intellect because you know that the Coca-Cola can is made. Therefore, there must be a maker. If it is designed, there must be a designer. The alternative that it happened by chance or accident is to move into an intellectually free zone. And I really like that analogy, as silly as it sounds, but that is what some, and by no means am I going to label all atheists, but that is what some atheists believe. And Charles Darwin made a statement about, or I'm sorry, Richard Dawkins made a statement about faith. I think he said it's the great cop-out. But it takes more faith to believe that something came from nothing. And I know Joe's going to correct me on this, so I wanted to make sure that I quoted it correctly. It's not the law of thermodynamics, but it's the second law of thermodynamics says that order, that chaos can never create order or something of that nature. Joe, you want to kind of fix that for me? Because I know something, it says something like
sorry
that.
Sorry to disappoint you, Matt. I know nothing about thermodynamics.
Gosh, man, you had fun tonight, Joe.
You did ask that question, I think, before your first entry to the show when you were supposed to come back. You asked about chaos and can
So I'd like to ask your panel that. How could all of these things that we see, the human eye, the human body, as a matter of fact, the tides, the moon, the gravity, all these things, how could that just come from a big explosion? That just makes no sense to me.
Well,
when
I think
you're
you need to be.
When you're talking about trillions of years and things surviving because they're able to adapt, and the things that don't adapt, they end up going away. So
okay.
Over the course of like trillions of years, the genes that survive are the ones that adapt. If you don't adapt, then you don't survive. And then also you're talking about the human eye. Mm-hmm. And over the course of years and stuff that you have, if you don't use it, it goes away. So you're saying that your designer created something that became obsolete, that it just, you know, I made this, but hey, it's no longer necessary, so get rid of it. I mean, a lot of the species that are on the planet today weren't around, you know, trillions of years ago. I mean, we've what is it, like about 90, 95%, 99% of all the animals, the species that was on this planet are now extinct.
Right, and I think we've had like five.
I didn't know
exactly.
That.
Yes, and we've had like five mass extinctions of virtually all life on the planet. And humans came perilously close to becoming extinct. I don't know how long ago, but yeah, to where they were only.
It was a great flood. we came close. We just made like 10 of us, 8 of us.
Matt, is the point of your questioning is, were you trying to say, how can a person believe in evolution unless he had faith in evolution? Is that what you were trying to get to?
I think so, and maybe to lighten you up a little bit, maybe I need to give you some more sheep or something. Maybe I'll sort of.
Yeah, I guess I need more sheep.
But I think basically, I mean, the end around is, I mean, I would think that it would take more faith to believe that than an intelligent designer, a creator of this world. We know that a building exists because there was a builder. We know that a painting exists because there was a painter. Why is it so hard to believe that the one that created? I mean, look at the sunset. Look at Joe was talking about the tides, how they are perfectly in sync. Everything is perfectly in sync. Why is it so hard to believe that there could be a creator of this universe?
What do you mean perfectly in sync?
Everything is perfectly in sync. We have seasons.
We have floods, we have hurricanes.
Okay.
Because we have
floods, hurricanes, and earthquakes, that means there's no God.
It's easy to believe.
It's not perfect.
No.
At least not for the people that are injured and killed.
Well, I would certainly agree with you. Hey, give me 1 second because I'm gonna have to pick up my phone because my Bluetooth headset is dying on me.
I was wondering, is it easier, Chris, to believe that a man made a mud man out of mud and blew air into him, and then a woman out of a rib from him, and all these stories.
Uh-huh.
And all this just produced everything on the earth.
Right.
If his hands were small enough to make a mud man, how do you make bigger things?
It's easier to believe that something which is scientifically impossible, something can't come from nothing.
It's scientifically impossible.
That's proven to be false. They've done experiments in the laboratory where they have created something out of nothing, vacuum tubes, where they've taken the air out and they've...
Joe, can you speak up? You sound really low and like you're mumbling.
Oh, God, is this better?
Yeah, you just need to speak a little louder.
I can't. Well, that's my phone. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Let me see if I can...
Hey, something happened there. Hey.
Yeah, something happened
right
there. That's right, resonance.
Okay.
If I
sound like that, let me know, and I don't know what I'll do, but I'll try to make it better.
Sit up and bed.
Alchemy. You ever played the game Alchemy?
No.
There's a game called Alchemy. It's an app, and you start off with water, air, and fire, the elements. To the point where towards the end of the game, you've got wheelbarrows, cars. You got everything that came from these four elements. You're mixing stuff together, and then you're supposed to see how you can keep going, and how you would touch. Water and dirt, and maybe the mud would flow or something. Something happens, but it's a really fun game. It's called Alchemy. It's an app, and so I'm thinking that when there was nothing. And you just had the wind and air and dirt or whatever, all these things over a course of trillions of years. This is not something that happened overnight, because you're compared to Coca-Cola can in a period of maybe a few days. But you're talking about trillions of years. I would imagine.
Well, I'm not talking about trillions of years. You guys.
No. You're not with the can, but I'm saying that with evolution, the time frame that you're working with, anything can happen. Look at the mountains and the canyons and rivers and all these things that didn't start off like that.
Right.
But over time, wind blowing here and water here and wind and a little shaking with the earthquake and lightning bolts, all this stuff is happening. And putting in different ingredients here and there.
Right.
That sounds more plausible than a guy taking a mud man and forming a man, and blowing breath into him, and creating bones, and capillaries, and arteries, and brain cells from his breath and mud.
Right. That's just like any other legends that they had. The mythology of how gods were formed. Who was it? Venus that supposedly sprung from the head of, was it Zeus? I don't remember. I forgot my Greek mythology. But, uneducated, illiterate people had all of these folk tales, about how the universe was formed and how the gods made it happen, and the gods had certain attributes, and they developed these very elaborate theories. And it was if they didn't understand something, then it was God, a God.
Eat it up. Wow. We got a new caller, 313. He's been listening for quite a bit. And now he has a question or comment. So welcome to the Fruit 313.
Right, thanks. So my question to you guys is,
Who are you?
My name is Norm from Detroit.
Hey, Norm.
Hey. So where did man come from?
Who are you asking the question?
I'm asking the panel, whoever's on there.
Okay.
Who doesn't believe God, doesn't believe in God. Where did man come from?
Well, we evolved from...
From what?
We're primates.
So why are there still primates? If primates evolved into humans, why are there still primates?
Well, that's the word evolved. You know.
Did they push the pause button or something?
Where did the amoeba come from?
You said either evolve or you don't survive. So why are there still primates?
Well, it's not like a linear. It's not a linear line.
Right.
It's not a linear line. It's definitely a linear line of primates.
No.
Yes.
No. There are many primate species.
So why haven't they died off or evolved?
But they are evolving.
To what? Humans?
No, I mean, over millions of years they change.
I want to add to that, anti-atheist. That's not evolution, that's adaptation.
And the difference is?
What are you talking about?
My thing is, you want people to have faith that men evolved from primates, but they're still primates. You don't have any other proof. You don't have any.
What you're using? I think I've heard Steve Harvey say that. You know, why we came from monkeys? Why do we still have monkeys? It's not that we came from monkeys.
We have
ancestors in common. It split off. Yes.
What proof do you have of that?
Well, there are humans today that have Neanderthal genomes. In the nuclear DNA, you can even test for that. There's a DNA test, 23andMe. There's several places that are doing that now.
What I'm saying is, if there were primates and primates evolved, you evolve because you have to survive. That's the reason for evolving. Am I correct? If the environment is changing, you must evolve with the environment. If you don't, you will not survive. Is that correct?
Okay, let's say yes. Let's continue with the line.
Let me explain it this way.
Okay, you have a woman and a man, or you have, like I said, a cat and a dog, and they get together and they make a dog cat. You still got the cat and the dog, maybe mating with other cat and dogs.
So you're saying a human and a primate got together, and then...
No, humans are primates. We are primates.
No, I disagree with that. You say humans are primates. There are primates. We're not them.
We are primate. We are a primate species. Just like chimps, bonobos, gorillas, we're all primates.
No. Those are primates. We are all mammals. Those are primates.
What's the definition of primate?
What's your definition of primate?
Well, I mean, you're telling us that we're not.
You're saying they're not.
There's a difference between us and monkeys. There's a difference between us and gorillas. There's a difference between us and baboons.
There's only one... One chromosome, not chromosome, but in
you know,
a DNA.
2% difference, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 2% difference.
Just like there's a difference between chimps and gorillas.
Well, your point is that we could not come from primates because the monkeys and the gorillas are still alive, right?
They would not exist. If everything had to evolve to survive, those primates would not exist.
Why?
Because you had to evolve.
Well, yeah, but like Ken said,
they're
evolving. A cat and a dog get together. I mean, they're all do you know that a lion and a tiger can mate, and they call them either, I forget, liger or what's a tiger and a lion?
Yeah.
Tiger,
about
a liger.
Two different species coming together, having, that's what you're talking about. So you're
trying to give an example.
A primate and a human got together in what?
But humans are primates.
Human, yeah. You're saying, you're making the assumption that the primates had to die off in order for the new species to have been completely evolved. So in other words, you're saying when we or whoever, whatever the new species is, automatically the primates were on the verge of dying, and as soon as they died, the new species, that was it. That was the new evolution.
Well,
right?
Let me ask you this. Any other species that you can think of that evolved into something different? Where's the other species?
Right. And hey, Joe, let me take a crack. And our Detroit caller, you make a great point. That's a great question. I think let me ask it in a different way, Ken and Joe. Can you give me an example of a change of kind? Can you give me an example to where and where a whale became a giraffe, or a dog became a horse?
Well,
can you give me a change of kind? Not a, because a dog and a wolf and a hyena, they're all the same kind. They're still
but
the
it was so
canine
gradual.
Kind.
It was very. It was so gradual. You can't sit there and say, okay, today. Okay, now the dog became a horse the next morning.
Right.
But it was so
right,
many
right.
millions of years in between all this changing where you couldn't even see it.
Okay. So that would be microevolution or macroevolution, not evolution. Is that what you're telling me?
I would be just plain evolution.
Okay. All right. So I want to address, if I don't want to step on your caller's toes. I love the question he asked because he brings up a good point. I'm not so sure I understand the specifics because
the point
I know.
The point he's trying to get to is that why do we believe in evolution?
No, Joe. I understand the question, but I'm trying to look at the logistics of it to where, I mean, my grandparents are still my grandparents, and even though they're 100 years old,
but we're still the same species. That's the point of
right,
the question.
Right, but I love the questions, but I don't know whether it was Jen or Anti-Atheist. I think it was Anti-Atheist that said that we are primates.
Yeah.
So about 3 months ago, and I had to pull it up in my computer, I did an article on DNA similarities. So one typical proof evolutionists give for ape to man evolution is that chimpanzees and humans have very similar DNA. In previous DNA studies based on only portions of the chimp's genome, scientists announced that humans and chimps were 98 to 99% identical, depending on what was counted. After completing the mapping of the chimp genome in 2005, evolutionists are now hailing the results as the most dramatic confirmation yet that chimps and humans have common ancestry. Their overwhelming proof is the finding that genetic difference is 4%, which is interesting proof because it's actually twice the amount that they've been claiming for years. In addition, even if the difference is only 4% of the 3 billion base pairs of DNA in every cell that represents 120 million entries in the DNA code that are different, in our DNA instruction book, meaning Isaiah 42:5, that's equivalent to about 12 million words. So that seemingly small percentage has a tremendous impact. Men and monkeys also have another fundamental difference. Humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes, while chimps have 24. So the DNA isn't as similar as you've been led to believe. More importantly, this claim of evolutionists makes a huge assumption. What is the scientific basis for assuming that similar DNA means a common ancestor? When you see a biplane and a jet, which are common features of wings, bodies, tires, engine, controls, etc., do you assume that one must have evolved from the other naturally without a maker? That's illogical. it's more reasonable to conclude that similar design indicates a common intelligent designer. An architect typically uses the same building materials for numerous buildings. A car manufacturer commonly uses the same parts in various models. So if we have a common designer, we would expect to find a similar blueprint was used in many different creatures. After all, DNA is the coding for the way our bodies look and operate. So creatures with similar features or body functions, eyes for vision, enzymes for digestion, etc., would have similar coding for these things in their DNA because human cells have the same biochemical functions as many different animals and even plants. We share some of the same genes. The more we have in common, the more we find similar coding and blueprints. This is just simple reasoning, not proof of common ancestry. So even though we share 96% of our genetic makeup with chimps, that doesn't mean we are 96% chimp. Be careful you don't fall for the illogic of this evolutionary proof, or scientists will not only make a monkey out of you, they'll make a banana out of you. According to evolutionist Steve Jones, a renowned British geneticist, we also share about 50% of our DNA with bananas, and that doesn't make us half bananas.
Now, who is this? I'm back now. I got my computer.
I didn't
crashed.
Know bananas had DNA.
Huh. I you know what, Joe? I didn't either. When I did the research on that article, I was blown away. But if you look at it, I mean, a banana is an atheist nightmare. It's shaped for a human hand, has a non-slip surface, has outward indicators of inward content, meaning green too early, yellow just right, black too late, has a tab for removal of wrapper, is perforated on wrapper, biodegradable wrapper, is shaped for human mouth, has a point at a top for ease of entry, is pleasing to the taste bud, and is curved to the face to make eating process easy. To say that the banana happened by accident is even more unintelligent.
You do realize the bananas was not like a natural. I mean, it was put together by, you know, it's not something that was naturally existed.
Well, I don't know much about bananas except for what I did for research on that article.
I don't believe the banana. I think it was genetically put together or somehow it wasn't something that. Is this Matt was talking?
Yeah, that was me that was talking.
Okay. I don't know.
If you go, that Detroit caller, he lays a good example, but I wanted to address no disrespect by this anti-atheist, but the lunacy to think that we come from chimps. Just because we share 96% of the makeup of a chimp doesn't make us a chimp. I mean, that's just lunacy.
We're not a chimp. We're human.
We didn't evolve from chimps.
Yeah, we didn't evolve from chimps. We didn't evolve from apes. We didn't evolve from primates.
Well, we are an ape.
We're not apes.
That would be just silly.
Yeah, okay.
Aren't we primates?
Yeah.
Are we primates? No, we're human beings.
Beings.
Yeah.
That's the separation right there from primate to human beings. That's a separation.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's a
just
separation.
Just like monkeys,
you're
just
going
like
by
gorillas
that,
are
going
primates.
By that,
is a gorilla a chimp?
You're going by the evolutionary chart. That's what you're going by to say we're primates. We're not primates. I don't agree with you that we come from that. And so I believe we're separate from those. We're human beings.
Right.
We're separate.
We are human beings. That is correct.
I don't agree with you saying human beings are primates.
I understand that.
And anti-atheist, let me ask you something. That would be like me and I can't remember whether we brought this up the last time, but that would be like me saying that we came from fish, that we had once had gills. That's just silly.
Well, and some people do have remnants of gills today. Some people have webbed feet and webbed fingers. Some people are born with
that's
tails.
Those are deformities. Those are deformities.
That is in their genetics.
That's a deformity. That's not evolving. That's a deformity.
What is a deformity?
I mean no disrespect, and forgive me for chuckling, anti-atheist. It's just like me trying to convince you that God exists. You trying to convince me that we came from apes is to me that's lunacy.
So
well,
are you saying dolphins are fish?
What?
Are dolphins fish?
No.
They're mammals. Okay.
Right. Their makeup and everything is the same as a fish.
No, it isn't.
Have you ever seen a dolphin cut open?
They don't have gills.
Not all fish have gills. Catfish doesn't have gills.
I didn't know
catfish didn't have gills, but
to be honest with you, I didn't either.
Me neither. Mm.
No. Well, how does this fit in with the argument?
You got a dolphin that's in the water, swims like fish, that eats and does everything a fish does, but it's not. It's a mammal. It's separate. It's not a fish.
Right. Basically, what he's trying to say, Ken, is it has almost the same attributes as a fish, but just because it has the same attributes doesn't make it a fish. Doesn't mean that it came from a fish.
But does that kind of prove atheist point more than it proves creation?
Not at all. You're saying we're close to primates. We're primates. We're not.
What I'm saying, the dolphin is sort of a hybrid. It's like you can see the evolution. Who's to know what a dolphin is going to look like another million years from now, or what came about him or from him.
Who's to say it won't look like it looks now?
But he breathes like a mammal.
What I think he's saying is because it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a platypus.
That's what you're saying.
That's what you're saying. But I'm saying you're catching all these things in mid-evolution. Like before I got cut off, I was saying that things take millions of years to evolve. But someone looking at it at a chunk of time, but maybe like 50 years, they won't see a movement. It's just like yourself when you wake up in the morning, either you know, you might be a young guy, but you know, 20 years, 30 years down the road, you might be old, but you don't see that change in one day. And the change is so gradual, you don't even see it sometimes. You know, you don't see yourself getting old, but someone else on the outside may see you looking older. Because to you,
right,
every day it's just so gradual. I mean, stuff is moving so slowly. It's like an hour hand on a clock.
But that's adaptation.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think
that that's adaptation. I don't think that that's evolution.
So I'm saying that's all falls under evolution.
So y'all just use
evolution as this big general umbrella that everything that changed something that's different than another thing, you just put it under? That's
right.
Evolution. Oh, yeah, that's evolution, too.
Hey, what I'm saying is that
he stubbed his toe. He got a short toe. It's evolution.
Right, but I'm saying you can't see the change because you're looking at it such a small time window.
Let's talk about the dolphin, for example. You said, who's to say in a million years the dolphin won't be the same as it is today?
It probably won't.
Who's to say that? Y'all doubt it. That means you need to have faith in evolution.
All right, let's say a million years from now, the dolphin is the same.
You can see it in your family structure. You look at your older generation, two or three, four generations down the road. They were probably smaller. They probably look a little bit different, like noses and whatever. As you get closer and older, people are getting bigger.
Hey, Ken, let me interject something here, and I want to make sure that that we're all that that although I agree with our Detroit caller, I don't want, you know, even though this is your show, and I know that this is something that you would be saying, but I don't want anybody to cut anybody off, because I just got messages. You've got listeners all over the place, because I posted this and people are saying that they can't hear because people are talking over each other and they want to hear this. So my thing on what you're saying is, let me bring up the idea of the Darwinian finches, okay? The whole idea is their beaks change, their feathers change, maybe they grew a third toe or something like that. It doesn't matter. They're still finches, okay? There's no change of kind. Therefore, there is no evolution, okay? And the evolutional theory is a change of kind. But to skip all over all of this, because I love your show, Ken, because it is one that I can come on and we can have a discussion, a debate, and there is no arguing. There may be banter. So in all of saying all of this, the science of evolution, it's not science, because science is observe and report and conclusions and all this stuff. You have to study all these things. And evolution is merely a theory. That's why they call it theory of evolution. It's not the fact of evolution. It is just merely a theory.
No.
This is a wrong idea.
When we talk about these scientific theories, they have already gone through the phase of the hypothesis. And I want to make sure we're not likening theory to hypothesis. And when someone proposes a hypothesis, that goes through a series of tests where you try to prove this hypothesis wrong.
Correct.
And when you actually have a working theory, it means that it is testable, it is repeatable, it is essentially provable.
Okay.
So it's just like gravity is a theory, the theory of gravity. Okay.
No, it's not a theory. It's a law. The law of gravity.
Right.
Gravity is not a theory.
We call it the law of gravity, but it was the theory of gravity. And until that is disproven if it ever will be, we operate as if it is a law, because it is so repeatable, so predictable.
Can I just say something? If it's repeatable,
hold on. I want Auntie to finish this, because I know exactly where she's going with this. Because the whole idea that evolution is the law of evolution, it will never be the law of evolution, because you say that it's been tested and proven. Then therefore, if it's been proven, it would then be a law. It would then be a law. Hang on a second. Well,
okay.
I can say that I'm 42 years old, and until you prove to me that I'm not 42 years old, then it's the truth. Okay? I mean,
let's let her finish. She's trying to describe the scientific method. So
go ahead, Auntie. I'm sorry.
But we do have we have tons of fossil evidence. We do have transition fossils.
Wait a minute. You say you have tons of fossils. Give me something that I can observe, that I don't have to have faith in, something that I can see with my own two eyes right now.
I'm not going to take you to a bunch of science sites tonight.
But you can't show me something that I don't have to have faith in.
I don't understand
the question,
Matt. If she says to you, Google the archaeological finds of such and such, and you Google.
But I have to believe what is written. That's faith. I didn't see it. And Joe, if I come to you and say, Joe, I'm a millionaire, are you going to believe me just because Google says I'm a millionaire? I could be dead ass broke.
No, that's true. Okay, and your point is that we have faith unless it's disproven.
That's correct.
Okay.
But as an atheist, some atheists, I'm not going to generalize that statement, it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe that God created this universe. And look at the word universe. Uni means one.
Faith has nothing to do with
that. God spoke one sentence. Let there be. And bam!
We have already established earlier in this conversation that evolution and atheism are not the same thing. Atheism makes no claims about how the universe was created, whether evolution is true or not. All atheism does is say, we don't believe your story about Santa Claus.
Right. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it not true. And just because I believe it doesn't make it true, but I have faith because I have the inside scoop, which is the Bible, which is something that you don't believe in. You think that it's just a bunch of stories. But my whole thing, Auntie, is, and you make some fabulous points, but the whole idea of you saying that atheism and evolution they don't go hand in hand, I don't necessarily agree with that because, now I'm not going to say, by no means am I going to make a general statement saying all atheists are evolutionists. I'm not going to say that. But Darwinian evolution, Charles Darwin was an atheist, okay? And he believed in evolution. So I'm going to say that they do go hand in hand because in any other religion, and atheism is a religion, whether you believe it or not, because you believe in yourself. You believe in the God of yourself. You believe, you trust your knowledge, you trust your wisdom, trust in the things that you believe, so therefore you worship yourself. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Andy.
You can make that claim if you want to. I really don't care if anybody thinks that atheism is a religion or not. It's irrelevant. You're still holding an empty sack. You have absolutely no proof whatsoever of the claims that you're making.
I have all the proof in the world.
You have no evidence you're offering.
I have all the evidence in the world, though, Andy. I do. You just, an atheist, not you, and I'm not, forgive me for pointing at you, but atheists with the fact that they can make an absolute statement that there is no God, okay, then they are making that absolute statement based on lack of knowledge. Because
atheists are making is that we don't believe you.
Okay, well, you know what? You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe the caller from Detroit.
Right.
You don't even have to believe in the Bible. You don't
even
have to believe in the Bible.
What atheism is.
Can I ask you something? So the atheists, atheists that don't believe in evolution, where do they believe life began at?
I don't know. Doesn't matter to me.
I'm just asking because you said it doesn't go hand in hand. So I was just assuming that there are other atheists and they have expounded on where life began, where man began. So that's all I asked. That's the reason why I asked.
I don't know. I mean, I'm
where did Cain go?
You can't pinpoint that.
Where's
Cain? It's like so many. You come up so many millions and trillions of years of stuff happening. Boiling and cooking and lightning and wind and air, all these things were happening, and so no one can pinpoint where you can go by fossils and maybe find out.
But again, I think it goes back to the fact that you are putting faith that is true. You weren't there 4 million years or 40 million or trillions of years ago. You can't testify to that being the truth.
But
you have to have faith.
No, that at least we have footprints. We have something to go on. You guys are going on a book, and that's all you have to go on.
But I know where man's going, and I know where Detroit was going too. If atheists don't believe in evolution, then what do they believe in? There would be atheists There would be atheists who would say, "I don't know."
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I can accept I don't know better than we came from apes.
But you would have to have proof to say that.
I would have to have proof to say
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're claiming it's God.
Yeah, but I would rather for a person to tell me they didn't know as opposed to tell me we came from apes.
Oh, okay, so you're saying then that a person who says we came from apes, you're saying they have to prove it. Okay, yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I would rather have a person say they don't know than have them claim that we came from Tinkerbell.
Right.
But no one said we came from Tinkerbell.
The discussion.
But
was
you have
about
no footprint,
earlier.
Huh? You have no footprint other than the Bible. If we take that book away from you, you don't know anything. You don't know what happened, how it got started. That book, you don't have that book.
Hey, Ken, let me share something with you, my friend. I didn't have a Bible for a period of time when I was in prison. Okay,
go ahead.
Hang on. I didn't have a Bible when I was for a little bit while I was in prison. Okay, that didn't take away my belief in God. My belief in God is by faith. I don't believe God exists because of this great book in my hand. I believe God exists because what has happened in my life and what He has transformed me to believe. And in reality, I mean, the argument is a man with an argument can never contend with a man with an experience. You and me, Ken, we believe differently, and we can debate all day long, but you can never contend with me because I've had that experience. God has totally transformed my life. So that is how I know that He exists. To make a statement that if you took my Bible away, that I would have nothing to lean on. That's
all right.
Sorry.
So what you're saying
is
you believe in God. You took the Bible away. You believe in God because you have faith. Correct.
That is correct. And
okay.
I'm
so
sorry
that's the argument of the argument of all Christians. When you boil it down.
Here's my thing.
Let me say this, Norm. When I said take the Bible away, I'm talking about it never being, even it ever existed. I'm saying
I don't understand what you're saying.
So what I'm trying to get Stickman to understand, because he came at me like I said, take it away today or tomorrow, yes, for a year. I'm talking about if it had never existed.
Okay.
Then you would have.
All right, and I apologize because you're right, Ken. I did take it that way, and I'm sorry. And what you say makes a little bit more sense now. If it never existed, would Christians still believe what they believe?
My answer
would be absolutely unequivocally, without a doubt,
yes.
Positively, yes.
Because he would use another form to let us know.
What does Detroit say?
I would say
that is Detroit.
Because he will find a different way to inform us about him. But my question is, if we evolve, where did our soul come from? Where did that come from?
What is the soul?
Your conscious. I said soul. Your conscious. Which makes us different.
Right?
That's an easy one to answer. I mean, look, if we evolve, look, I mean, not even if you want to take the theory of evolution, if we're just taking a look at the human being, if you want to assume that there's a soul, okay?
Consciousness.
The fact that we are here, the fact that I think, therefore I am, that's in our brain, and the brain's part of the evolution. That's obvious. Or if not evolution, the brain's part of us today. That's obvious. So that doesn't mean because we have a consciousness that therefore we have a soul.
But here's the thing. The brain has a function. That's it. And your brain functions. If it stops, you're dead.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about the function of your brain. I'm talking about you. What makes you you? What makes you know what's right and what's wrong?
That's a different question. Okay.
No, but that's
your environment.
Soul. That's your environment makes you know what's right.
Your
and what's
environment
wrong.
And your DNA. Your environment. Your environment teaches you what's right and wrong.
Right.
No, you knew before you even knew what an environment was. What was right and wrong.
You mean before we got out of the womb?
If
you're a little kid, you're already out of the womb. You're already
affected by your
environment.
Wait, hey, let me interject. Ken, let me interject.
Let him finish, Matt.
Because, Joe, what you're saying is not, it doesn't make much sense to me.
That let Detroit finish what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
If you're saying our environment is what makes us know what's right and wrong. Then just me being in Detroit, what makes right and wrong here might not be the same as somebody in Texas, might not be the same as somebody in Hawaii, might not, because our environment is different.
The general environment, the specific environment might be different, but the culture is the same.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Let me get the number out. We're getting ready to shut down from the streaming, and the number is 347-202-0492. We have two more callers in wait, 773 area code and 206. We know you're online. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
Whoever's talking.
Who, me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, whoever's talking. I interrupted somebody.
Okay. Go ahead, Detroit.
Hello.
Well, I was saying there are certain principles like murder. I know murder is wrong. People in Texas know it's wrong. People in Hawaii know it's wrong. We know that is wrong. And it has nothing to do with the environment. Taking something that don't belong to us, we knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And it had nothing to do with my environment. Those are things that was part of my soul, my conscience. It has nothing to do with the functioning of my brain.
Huh?
Who's going now?
Wait, Norm. I was just asking a question in the midst of your conversation. I might want you to address from what you're saying. If we all know from our soul, why do we need the Bible and the commandments? So go ahead.
Why we need the Bible and the banana?
The Bible is
to give you information about what God is and what God has done for us. Being a good person doesn't make you saved as far as the Bible is concerned. It's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You could be the best person in the world, but if you ain't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you still damn.
That's part of the Bible.
That's part of the Bible.
Yeah,
What I'm talking about. Go ahead.
You're making an assumption that as kids, we all know what's right or wrong. If you take a look at kids playing, they steal from each other all the time. They do not.
And they know it's wrong. That's why they
don't.
Not until they are taught by their parents.
Spoiled brats who are not taught by their parents grow up to be spoiled brats who do not know the difference between right and wrong.
Let me interject something. When an infant it comes out of the womb, I'm going to give you a few examples because we've been talking about observable proof. Okay, when a little boy, a toddler or a little kid goes and steals, he hides. He's embarrassed. He won't tell his mom and dad. Okay, so wait a minute. Come on, Joe. If we really want to think about this, okay, that's the biggest fallacy to say that a child does not know right and wrong, even from the infant stages.
An infant.
Let me finish, Joe. Okay. Joe, let me finish, okay? A child from the infant stages. So I'm going to go all the way back to an infant. When he wants something and he doesn't get it, he cries. When he gets something, he doesn't cry. When he's slapped on the hand, he cries. And then eventually he'll get to know that it's not right to take daddy's watch or to peel off daddy's watch. But my point is he does it anyway.
I don't know of
any child that hasn't reached out and tried to touch a hot heater or a something that he's not supposed to touch, and the parents say, "Don't touch that." What's the first thing they do? They yank their hand back and they run and hide. Because it is inbred in them. It is their conscience. They have conscience, with knowledge. We are born knowing right from wrong. And the excuse of saying we are not is the atheist excuse to try to deny God's existence.
No, it
has nothing to do with trying to deny God.
There's something that Stickman said that actually I agree with to a certain point, is that from an evolutionary standpoint, yes, we do have
some what we might call morals that are ingrained in us. It's also ingrained in other primates. It's also ingrained in other species, too. There are many studies, you can look them up on YouTube, where chimps, even dogs, when they give them treats, if they give, let's say, grapes to one chimp and they give cucumber to another chimp, the one with the cucumber gets mad because the other one got a better treat than him.
Is that a moral indignation, or is
he has a sense of justice.
Jealousy?
He has a sense of fairness. He has that would be, from the chimp's perspective, right and wrong. He
that wouldn't
gets
be
angry.
Jealousy? That wouldn't
oh,
be jealousy.
Oh, that's not moral.
That's not moral.
No,
I don't think.
Yeah. And then neither was your example, Matt, about the kid running away. That's not moral. That's being embarrassed, or maybe the kid doesn't want to get smacked again. I don't believe that
we
are
born. Well, why is he
going to
get smacked, Joe?
Huh?
Why was he going to get smacked? Because he knew that what he did was wrong.
No, he knew that what he was doing was going to get him smacked.
Okay. How about when there's cookies in the cookie jar and the kid for the first time wants a cookie and his parent told him, you can't have the cookie. No cookie. But the kid decides he's going to get the cookie anyway, and he sneaks to go get it. Because that he
You're
knows
You're making my argument.
Wrong. No, I'm not.
You're
if
saying,
he does,
and Matt is saying that a moral differentiation of right and wrong is inbred in us through our DNA before we get out of the womb. If that's true, then that kid would not be going back to the cookie jar for the second time.
But that's not true,
no,
Joe,
no,
because we are naturally wicked. Our hearts are naturally wicked.
We're naturally wicked. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, in essence, selfish.
What I'm saying is he knows he's wrong. I'm not saying just because you know right and wrong, you're going to do right all the time. No.
Right.
You know the difference.
But you do it anyway. Okay.
Yeah,
so you're saying we know it, but we're going to go against the grain. I'm saying this. That's possible. Okay. We're going to go against the grain. Those are psychopaths. Some people say psychopaths don't know the difference between right and wrong. But, okay, let's give any definition we want to a psychopath or a sociopath. What I'm saying is that if you take a look at spoiled brats, okay, the mean girls, the mean B girls, all right? Of guys who have been brought up by mama's boys, et cetera, they don't know the difference between them. They know that if they get caught, they will go to jail. Take a look at, I'll give you an example. Take a look at the movie, A Few Good Men, when Jack Nicholson was on the stand.
Right.
And he said, he knew he was trying to avoid being accused of making sure that that kid was going to get a beating.
Right.
But once he revealed that he did give the order to give that kid a beating, he couldn't understand why he was going to jail.
He knew he was wrong. See, but
he didn't know he was wrong.
What's going on here? But see,
I did my duty.
But the point was, he was trying to hide it.
That's what I just finished.
So he knew it was wrong.
He knew that if he got caught, he would get punished. He did not know it was wrong.
So
Joe, that's called self-preservation. It's just like me, if I was married and my wife asked
but
me
he
if
thought
she was
there
good
was
in,
no
hang on, Joe.
Moral,
Joe
no, I haven't finished. Hold on.
Okay.
He did not think there was a moral difference. He couldn't understand why society was coming down on him.
Right.
Okay.
And so what I was saying, Joe, is he did not understand. I think that is, I don't necessarily agree with that statement. I think that a lot of what you say is right. He wanted to hide the fact, and he didn't want to get punished, so he did whatever he could do to try to hide the fact. Okay, but that's nothing but self-preservation. That's
definitely what I said. What I also said was, After he admitted it, and then the judge said, okay, Sergeant at Arms, et cetera, please arrest the colonel. He said, "What's going on here? What's going on?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Oh, you're not talking about Jack Nicholson. You're talking about the Marine that got arrested.
No, Jack Nicholson.
Okay, so you're talking about Jack Nicholson. But
Jack Nicholson made the statement, all you did was make America weak.
Right, but the whole idea of that analogy that you're using, Joe, that is the same with sinners. How can we expect a guilty sinner to repent when he has no idea what to repent from? Because
okay.
he doesn't
Bible,
understand.
We still don't have any idea. Do you repent because you wear mixed fiber clothing?
No, that's just silly, because that's not something that we need to repent from. God gave us the law. He gave us the Ten Commandments that are instilled in our hearts. It's a tablet written on our hearts. It is how we will be judged, whether we believe that or not. So the fact that do we need to repent because I wore plaid after Labor Day? No, I don't. The fact is, but if I think of a woman and have lustful thoughts, that I've already committed adultery with that woman in my heart. Now, before I go any further, Ken, I actually got a question on my Facebook panel from a village that diligently listens to my shows in Ghana, and their question is, okay, is there okay if I share it on the air?
Sure, go ahead.
Ken, are you there? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Their question. Yeah, their question is, okay, and it's directed at you, Ken. They say, Ken, what would convince you that God exists? And
how
that's
do
a
I
great
know
question.
That's a question from Ghana.
I can forward it to you. I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. You should know me by now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I know you very well, man. Okay.
I mean, what would convince me that God exist. If maybe he spoke at a forum where, you know, it was like maybe a few 100,000 people, he came out and he spoke and he performed some miracles that only God could do. And,
okay.
You know, and he did some godly things and with, you know, on camera, and we could actually play it back and that type of stuff. Then I would believe.
Okay. Okay, so in fact, now I'd like to rebut on that. So basically, the only reason you don't believe in God is because you can't see him.
That's one.
Am I interpreting that correctly?
No. That is true. It's partly true. Now, I would believe him also if he answered prayers on a more frequent basis and more fairly. And
okay.
he didn't have someone being blessed in America with a Bentley, and they all thank you, God, thank you for my Bentley. And then someone on the other side of the planet, Africa, in Ghana maybe, who's sitting there and don't have anything, not a Bentley, but don't even have a banana or water.
Okay.
So where
okay.
is the fairness if he loves everybody evenly?
Okay. No one said life is fair. Not even God. There's nowhere in the Bible that does it say life is fair. Nowhere.
That's not the point. But that's not the point, though. If he loves everybody fairly and evenly, it would be a little bit more even. I mean, it don't have to be fair, but it could be the point where it's more evenly distributed.
Here's the thing. It says if he loves everybody the same, he'd love everybody.
Yeah.
He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what he did for everybody.
He did what?
He gave his only begotten son. He's still assuming that there's a God who
right.
gave this particular son of his.
Right. But what I'm saying, that's what he did. Whether you ask him to or not, that's what he did.
That's the claim you're making.
Okay. whether you believe it or not, that's what he did. And
all right,
that's from
your perspective, whether we believe it or not. All right.
Oh,
that's
seven,
what he did to show.
Let me say, I got two people. They might want to come in and add to this. 773 and 206. Your mic is open. So One of you might want to say something if you have a comment or question.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Brent from Seattle.
Yeah, 773.
I wanted to add to the statement that God gave His only Son. That is a huge claim that literally has no backup. I can say the same thing. I got $5 million in my backpack right now, but you got to leave town in order to get it. But I'm not going to show you the $5 million until you leave town. So
that's not the
thing. Who is right?
That's not the thing.
Hey, Ken, I'd like to. And is this caller from Seattle? I mean, the Seattle caller. What's his name?
What's your name again? Was it Brad? What'd you say? Seattle caller. What's your name? Hello, Seattle caller. What's your name? Are you still there? You're on the board. 773.
There's another caller too, right?
Yeah. Okay, so
we'll just address it. I think he said his name was Brent. Brent, to use that analogy and wrapped it with John 3:16, that doesn't make any correlation. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it, you can absolutely refuse that idea, but that doesn't stop what God did. We have to remember that God does love us, but He will not love us and ignore justice. Okay, so yeah. When I go to the judgment seat, okay, which maybe you don't believe in, but I know if I commit a crime in this world, okay, I want the best attorney. I don't want a public defender. I don't want to represent my.
Can call
it
on the air?
What?
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
A caller is
sorry,
on the
Joe.
Air, a new caller.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Hello? Yeah, can I hear you? What is your name?
Yeah, this is Mike. I'm from Chicago. I just wanted to make a couple of quick points. I keep hearing theists say that atheists and evolutionary biologists keep saying that we come from apes. We do not come from apes. We have a common ancestor with apes. And the other guy was also saying that we're not primates. We are primates. All primates are mammals. You can Google this stuff and look it up yourself. It's not up for debate. And as far as us being born with innate abilities to know right from wrong, that's false. That's why we have to teach our kids to not do things. It wouldn't make sense for us to know right from wrong, but not to know not to stick a metal fork in a socket. We have babies falling out windows, burning themselves, killing themselves by accident. It wouldn't make sense for us to not know right from wrong when it's in terms of life and death, but we know not to steal and kill. That just doesn't make sense.
Okay, Ken, I'd like to respond to that call, to that caller. I didn't catch your name, sir. What was your name?
Mike.
Okay, Mike, let me ask you a question. How old were you when you knew rape was wrong?
I don't know, but I wasn't a little kid thinking about sex or even understood sex to even understand whether or not rape was wrong.
Okay, yeah, how old were you when you knew it was wrong to steal?
Probably a little boy.
Okay, a little boy.
I wasn't born with that ability to know stealing was wrong.
I disagree.
I have a daughter right now who walks in a store, and if I'm not watching her, she'll snatch some candy off the shelf and walk out with it. She has
no. Why does she have to snatch it if she doesn't know that it's wrong? Why doesn't she just pick it up? Why doesn't
she
just
pick
it up?
It's not that she's snatching it. It's just that she's picking the candy up and walking out the store with it.
But I guarantee you that's not what she does, Mike. I guarantee you she snatches it, puts it in her pocket, and hides it from everybody. Why?
No,
because
she does
knows
not.
That it's wrong.
I'm telling you what I witnessed with my baby
girl.
And also
I can't argue that
another
fact.
Point, another point about not knowing right from wrong, if you did know, if you were born with the ability to know right from wrong, then that validates the atheist position that you don't need God or the Bible to be moral. You don't need to believe in them to be moral because we're born with this innate ability to know right from wrong. So
that claim actually validates the atheist position.
Hang on, Joe. That doesn't mean
just because you know right from wrong, that doesn't mean that you're going to do the right thing all the time.
Right.
But you know right from wrong, and you don't need to believe in God or the Bible to know right from wrong if we're born knowing right from wrong.
You don't need to know the definition. Hold on. You don't need God or the Bible to believe to know right and wrong. You need God and the Bible to be saved. That's what the Bible is for. It's not to teach you right from wrong, because you have a will. You have your own will. You can do whatever you want to do. It gives you choices. God gives you a choice.
Opening a can of worms with that one.
Right. Well,
it doesn't matter.
He's saying that we're being saved from God.
God,
you have no evidence to prove any of this.
Let him
finish. I most certainly do.
You know what?
Everybody keeps stepping on this guy.
I like to hear what he has to say.
Okay, sorry, Joe. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
It's Norm. Let's hear from Norm, and then Norm and Mike.
The Bible is not here to teach you right from wrong. The Bible is to get you on the path to get saved. That's what the Bible is. Whether you believe in the Bible or not, that's the whole thing of faith. I have faith that the Bible is real. I have faith that God is real. I don't need anything else. If you don't believe it, that's fine. I mean, it's not up to me to make you believe it. It's
right.
Not my job to make you believe it. I'm just here to put this in front of you, whether you accept it or reject it. That's on you.
Right. Great.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I have no reason to go off faith. Well, why is faith so important? I have no reason to believe that a Bible that was created 2,000 years ago and revised 100 times by 100 anonymous authors is the true word of God. I need to believe that first before I take that leap of faith.
But it was only 40 authors, and do you have faith in anything, Mike?
Not really. The only thing I believe is things that I see and can prove and can back up. If you have no evidence to present, I have no reason to believe it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Your heart beats, right?
Yeah.
What makes it beat?
Being alive. Your heart makes the blood flow.
What makes your heart beat?
I mean, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I can't specifically tell you what makes my heart beat, but I can tell you that if I don't know, I just won't plug it in with God.
So what's your point?
Anytime they don't know something or have no evidence for something, they just plug it in with God.
Your brain makes your heart beat. It's electrical impulses.
Right. Some people go to medical school to learn that stuff.
Biological.
Learn your heartbeat?
Yeah, let's go
to learn
pulse.
How.
Let me ask you, what makes my heart beat? Let me ask you that.
It's your pulse.
That's the what?
And what was the point of this question?
My point was,
you say unless you know, you don't believe in it. You believe your heart beat. You didn't know how it beat. That was my point.
I can go to school and find that out.
Your statement was. Unless you know, and you can prove it, unless you know, you don't believe it. My point was you can believe your heart beats. That's all. You don't have to know to believe in something.
Right. And by the time you went to school,
I can actually feel my heart. I think it's splitting his senses to know why or how the heart operates. But we know the heart operates. We know that the heart keeps us alive through pushing blood through the blood cells. Okay,
right.
those are parsing words.
Right.
We're not arguing about that. Stuff happens in the world. Stuff happens. What you're trying to do is attribute it to God. And we know that the heart operates, and we know that it works.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
you're trying to get us to
That wasn't my point. See, you guys taking what I just said. My point was he doesn't see his heart, but he knows his heart.
I feel it. I feel it. I can use other senses other than visually seeing my heart.
Yeah, but that's your statement now.
Well, his statement was that he doesn't know.
And my point was you don't need to see it to believe it.
I said nothing about just seeing. I can feel my heartbeat.
Okay.
I understand that I have a heart. I can go to my computer right now and Google how does your heart beat, and they'll explain it to me. But I can put my hand to my chest and feel my heartbeat and know that it's there.
Do you know your brain sends signals down your nerves?
Hey Mike, can I ask you a question?
I know my brain is here because I'm using it.
Do you see your brain?
You keep talking about seeing. I don't have to see something to believe it, but I can use
we're getting
away. To measure whether
do
or not it's
there.
Hey Ken, we're getting away from
the
subject here.
Wait, we're getting away from the we're chasing a ghost.
Chasing
here.
Rabbits, and that's what I didn't. I don't want to.
We know the heart beats.
I wasn't chasing rabbits. My point was. Everything about you, you don't have to see or feel, and you know it's there. Period.
That's not true. I can use everything about me. There's some form of measurement for me to know that it's there.
What's your
form
of measurement
about your brain? I don't see the wind, but I can measure the wind and know that it exists.
I was talking about the brain.
Hey, Mike, what you're talking about,
even the brain, I'm using my brain to speak to you.
Okay. Hey,
you
Mike,
your brain
I ask
to
you
think,
something?
To function. So I know
Mike,
that my brain exists. I don't
Mike,
have to
I,
visually see it.
This question
Mike,
is...
Mike, you've made your point, and I'd like to ask you something, because although I agree with Detroit, and what he is saying, what he's trying to say, let's make it a little bit more simplistic. And I am continually, Ken, I'm still getting messages from our listeners that are listening, that were listening to the show when it was live, saying that people couldn't hear because everybody was stepping on them. So I'm trying. Forgive me if I'm being disrespectful, if I'm stepping on anybody. I don't want to do that. So, Mike, I would really like to ask you a question, and I just would like you to let me finish, and then I'll let you, and then you're more than welcome to rebut to my question. So my question would be, and I respect what you have to say, because it makes a lot of sense. Okay, although I don't agree with you, I certainly agree with where Detroit was going with that. But let's take something that you can't see and you can't feel. Can you guarantee me that you're going to wake up tomorrow?
I can't guarantee you that I'll be alive in 10 minutes. Well, where are you going with this?
Okay, well, not every question, especially for me, has an angle, Mike. I just want to
get you.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, all right. So if you can't guarantee me that you will be alive, and let's not talk about 10 minutes, you won't be alive tomorrow. You can't guarantee me that fact, okay? So that means, because earlier you said you have faith in nothing. You have faith that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, correct?
No. I don't have faith in anything that I can't prove.
But you can't prove that you're going to wake up, so do you want to die?
No, I don't want to. I want to wake up tomorrow, but I cannot tell you that without a doubt I will wake up tomorrow. I can't tell
you. That's correct. That is correct. That is absolutely correct. But so, in other words, do you want to wake up tomorrow?
Of course.
Of course. Right. I would want to wake up tomorrow. Okay. So that means you are putting faith that you're going to wake up tomorrow.
No, it is not.
That's me just wanting to. I did not say that I'm going to wake up and I have faith. If I said that I was definitely going to wake up, that would be me having faith.
Okay.
I said I want to wake up tomorrow. It's a difference.
Okay.
Do you have any plans for this week, the rest of this week?
Yep.
Then you have faith you're going to be making those plans. That's why you made plans.
But still on hope, though. He's still hoping.
Right. Exactly. It's a difference. I'm just hoping that I can go through with those plans. I did not The only way that I could have faith that I was going to make those plans, that I was going to do what I want to do, is if I said, I am definitely doing this.
But that wouldn't be faith.
I have a doctor's appointment. I have a doctor's appointment in 2 days.
That wouldn't be faith, Mike.
I am definitely going to the doctor. I'm making the schedule with hopes that I'll be alive in 2 more days. That's right. Not faith.
Okay.
Faith is if I make a claim and I can't back up that claim. I did not say I will definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, be at my doctor's appointment in 2 days. I never said that. That's not faith.
You're right. That's not faith. That's making an absolute statement. That has nothing to do with faith.
Right.
But if I make an absolute statement with no proof to back that up, then that would be faith.
But you can't make an absolute statement without having absolute evidence that you're going to complete that test. So that has nothing to do with faith. I think maybe the error is that you have a wrong definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance, the evidence of things that cannot be seen. That is the definition of faith. And you yourself, using your own words, answering a question, saying, I hope to do this. So therefore, you do have faith.
Even if I wanted to agree with you and say you were right, I still have a reason to have faith. The fact that I've been alive and I've went through plenty of weeks in past experiences, I have experience to go on to say, you know, I've lived 30-plus years, so I probably will make it to this Thursday. The faith that theists have is in something they've never seen or never witnessed. I still have experience to go on to even have faith that I'll be here Thursday. I have experience.
Okay, but Mike, what if I told you, you said the theists make the argument that of faith of something they've never seen. Now, by no means am I going to say that I've ever seen God, because that would be contrary to his word. But what if I were to tell you that I've heard his voice?
Then I would say you're probably crazy.
My alarm went off on that one.
So just because you don't believe what I'm telling you, what if I said to you when you asked that question, and I said, Mike, I don't believe your name is Mike.
I have evidence to back that up. I have a Social Security card.
But how can you prove that to me right now with us being on the phone? You can't, right? You can't prove to me that your name truly is Mike. Right this second.
But because I can't prove it right now,
doesn't mean that it's
not
true,
doesn't
right?
exist.
Well,
it doesn't
well,
mean
minute,
the evidence doesn't exist. There,
I know,
there,
but
I, there are people who know that that's my name.
I know, but
if,
Mike,
if
what
we
I'm,
got
we're,
to
we're
talk
just
for
talking,
a little
but
longer.
Mike, we're just talking about me and you, okay?
Okay.
Just because you can't prove to me that your name is Mike doesn't mean it's not true, right?
But more than likely. Like I said, you have experience of talking to people and knowing that human beings carry names, and it's not likely that I would lie to you. So you can go off of past experiences and measure that, hey, you know, he's probably telling the truth.
So I'm putting faith in the fact that you are telling me the truth.
From past
but there's not layers and layers.
Yes.
You have no past experiences
of an existence of a supernatural being.
I respect that answer, Mike, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in. And Ken, this has been phenomenal. And I don't know how much more time that we have, but I've
got
about
a half hour. Will you give me say something? After
we got a whole half hour. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we got half hour, about 32 minutes. Will you give me say something, Auntie?
No, well, actually, I need to cut out here, and it's my bedtime. But I enjoyed the banter. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks, thanks again.
Good night. We'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, you guys take care. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
What did you say, Joe?
I said thanks for her company.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Auntie, it was great. And thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care, sick
right,
man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Ben, will you do me a favor? Will you put my name in the chat panel?
Matt, you said you had some questions for me. I'm in the hot seat. Go on.
Did anybody else? Did you have any more callers, Ken?
We have talked to everybody. Norm, which is Detroit, and Mike.
From Chicago,
Mike,
right?
Mike, I think it's Chicago. Yeah.
Mike
yeah.
was from Chicago, right? All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Whatever happened, I don't know what happened to the Seattle caller, but anyway. All right, Joe. Yes, I do have some questions for you, and what they may seem very trivial to you, but I'm not asking in an antagonistic manner. I'm asking because I don't know.
Okay.
And the last time that we talked, you wanted me to do some research. So my question, if we were talking about, I don't know whether we ever got to talk about the flood. I think we did. But my question to you, Joe, is that the planet Earth is covered, 70% covered in water. Where did all that water come from? Please don't tell me asteroids.
Don't say where?
I was reading when I was doing the research before I was going to ask you this question.
Yeah, 70% covered in water.
Somebody actually
said please
said
don't
that
tell
it
you it came from where?
Asteroids.
Asteroids, oh, okay. Where did the water come from? I don't know.
Okay.
Just
right.
think of
I
the make
that
of the water.
Because I don't know either. I mean, I can only, I have faith that it came from the Great Flood, so.
All right, so next question, or if you're making another counterpoint or something, go ahead.
No, actually, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just saying my statement would be that it came from the flood. That would be the only explanation that I could think of, because some scientists say that water was on comets and blah blah blah, and I don't know how to.
I don't really know.
Okay. So,
but again, there's nothing wrong with saying I don't know. You can't just plug everything that you don't understand. You shouldn't just plug it in with God did.
Why not?
Because you have
Let him ask you the questions. Let me give the answers, and then, you know, we only got a half an hour left if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. And, all right, so, Joe, the next question would be, I was going to wait to the last, but just in case we get run over on time, where would be the turning point for you to say, you know what, Matt, I was wrong? Or let me take that back, because it's not about right or wrong. But I'll ask you the same question that our listener from Ghana did. What would be the turning point for you to say
that I believe in God? All right.
Yeah.
God would have to appear. We'd have to be as good as his definition. He'd have to be as just as his definition. He'd have to be as merciful as his definition. He'd have to have powers beyond belief. He'd have to be able to destroy and then make the universes reappear. That would probably be it. He'd have to be more than just Superman. He would have to have supernatural powers of the type that were described in the Bible, and he'd have to conform to the definition of an all-powerful, all-merciful, all-knowing, all-just God.
Okay, so the
and satisfy my questions to a logical conclusion. Why he allows, you know, people to die, babies to have cancer, blah blah blah. Okay.
Okay, so the leading question would be, then if you were to take, God forbid, if you were to take your last breath tonight and you sit in front of God, what if he said, would you accept his justice of, I never knew you, depart from me into eternal damnation?
Fuck no. Are you kidding? Hell no. That's not conforming to the all-just, all-merciful God. First off,
okay,
and secondly, I'd have no goddamn control over that. If I'm in front of this particular being that says he's a god, right? Now, don't forget, I'm an agnostic. I'm not an atheist. I can believe that there is such a thing as a god, a triumvirate of gods, but they're not the Christian god. So if I'm in front of this guy that you've just described, I have no choice, okay? Therefore, if he wants to condemn me to his 10,000 years of 10,000, not 10, immortal, eternal damnation of 10,000 sons, I have no choice. And, yeah, I would accept that there's a God while I'm screaming my ass off. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So in saying that, Joe, so basically you would want a God that suits your constraints of who a God should be.
I want a God to conform to the definition that I did not make up, but that theologians made up about God.
Okay, so one that's all-knowing, all-seeing, you can't hide under any rock. He knows every thought, he knows every word, he knows every deed, and he will hold you accountable for every sin that you've committed.
Just, merciful way, yeah.
In a just, merciful way. Okay, so do you think Hitler is in a mansion in heaven right now?
It's possible.
There's 6 million Jews. He killed 6 million Jews.
There is nothing
very
that
possible.
A man can do on this planet that warrants 10,000 sons burning at his burning on his skin for eternity. Not even Hitler.
But
not Stalin. Yeah, whomever. Nobody
okay,
deserves
it. All right, so let me ask you a question, Joe. And when I ask this question, I mean no disrespect.
Okay.
So if your mother was walking in a parking lot, if
she
and
got
I don't know
raped,
how,
killed, tortured, no, the person who killed her, raped, or tortured does not deserve hell. Okay, I just cleaned that up. All right.
Does not deserve punishment.
Does not deserve hell.
No, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Wouldn't you say? You're talking about something that happened in a span of what, maybe 50, 60, 70 years, and so what you do in that span is go now give you a punishment that lasts infinite in the amount of years that you were even alive.
Oh, okay, and I understand that. So, Joe, I understand that. So, Joe, do you have any children?
Oh, I don't answer personal questions. I'll answer
right,
about
so let,
my beliefs, but no personal.
All right, let's just say that you had a son.
Okay.
So let's say that I'm walking through the mall and I go and I shoot 50 children in the mall. Okay. And what you've done is you gave your son up to be killed, okay?
Give him up to be killed. He was killed walking through the mall. But go ahead.
No. Your child wasn't there. Basically, what you did was you gave your son to die for any penalty that I would commit. So I decided to go after knowing that.
Okay.
And go and rape and pillage and shoot a bunch of people. How would you feel towards me if you offered your son, your flesh and blood, your son, to pay my penalty, and I went and did that? How would you feel?
I wouldn't like it at all.
Right. You would be angry, correct?
Right.
Would I deserve some type of punishment?
Yes.
What kind of punishment would I deserve?
Not
death,
hell.
Correct? No, okay. Death. Correct?
Okay, death, torture.
Okay.
Okay.
So death. Let's just put aside that hell does exist.
Okay.
Let's just put aside. Do you want to die?
Do I want to die? Doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you?
No.
It doesn't bother you because you don't fear hell because you don't believe that it exists.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I'm sorry, Cam, what did you say?
I said peace of mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have peace of mind because death no longer has its sting over you because you're not fearful of any kind of punishment.
No, you're coming to two different conclusions. I'm not fearful of death.
No, I'm asking.
Punishment.
I'm not making a conclusion. I'm asking.
Well, all right. I'm not fearful of death. Now, the punishment, what correlation does that have with death?
Well, death would be a punishment, wouldn't it be?
Okay, all right. So you're saying if I was to die, okay, or if I was going to be punished by death, and your next question is?
Why does that not concern you?
Well, no. If somebody's going to hold me in a cell and keep me there, I don't like that either. I'm not fearful of death. But that doesn't mean I welcome it, okay, according to your scenario. if I'm in a cell, if I'm going to be tortured, if I'm going to be punished, that's all kind of stuff I'm allergic to. I'm not going to like it. Okay.
Right.
All right. But the death itself, I don't have. And I don't know if you hear, but I explained that on a program where I was in a plane. People didn't know if the plane was going down or not. It didn't bother me. The woman next to me, she grabbed onto me for dear life. I was very cool. All right. It wasn't going to bother me. As long as it was going to be a nice, swift death, not a problem.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Joe, one last question, okay?
All right.
What if you're wrong?
If I'm wrong, what kind of control do I have over that?
You have every control. All you have to do is repent and confess and trust God.
That's in past tense. Past tense. You won't know he's wrong until it's too late.
Yeah.
I won't know I'm wrong until I'm dead.
Ken, what he said was he has no control over it now. Of course he does.
No, that's not
what he
said.
What
if I'm wrong? Allah is the
truth.
Okay,
let's say I'm wrong. But see, you're assuming because I'm not a Christian, a formal Christian, that therefore I am going to hell. How about this?
I didn't say that at all, Joe, but I didn't say that at all, and I didn't assume that.
No,
it's not for
saying,
me to judge
you're
going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven.
You said,
but
what
it
if
is
I'm
going,
wrong?
Right.
And then
what
you
if you're wrong and you're...
I repent. Therefore, you're assuming I have to repent for something.
Okay.
Right?
Well, I know what the Bible says.
Okay.
Okay. And if you're a liar, if you're a thief, if you committed adultery,
How about I'm an atheist or an agnostic, I don't repent, there is a God, but because I've lived a good life, I'll probably be in heaven before you.
Okay, well, I can assure you, my friend, that I can do a million good works in one day, and that will not earn me a spot in heaven.
Right, you have to repent, in other words. You're going to take the words from the Bible. Okay, I have not repented, okay, therefore I'm going to hell if there is a God.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Okay,
all I'm saying is you're going to be in trouble on Judgment Day. And I care for you enough
Wait a minute. You said I'm not going to one place or the other, but I'm going to be in trouble. So I have to go to one place or the other.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, Joe. What did you say?
You're saying I'm in trouble, but then you're saying I'm not in trouble,
well,
but I better repent, otherwise I'm
going to be
in trouble.
According to the Bible, yeah, you'll be going to hell.
Okay. All right.
He's saying he don't want to put you in hell. And that's,
but yeah, but
that's
I'm
not his
job. Anyway.
But according to the Bible, that's where you'd be spending your eternity.
Because I didn't repent.
Detroit, that's exactly what I was trying to say, but I wanted him to say it. So
you said that's not what you were saying.
Right.
No. I misunderstood. Maybe I didn't hear you because I thought you were trying to tell me that I was saying that you were going to go to hell.
Okay. Let's look at this. Let's look at this hell situation. A little closer, okay? You got God on one end, you got devil, who's in charge of hell, I would imagine, right?
He's over this world.
The devil, that's the whole thing. Hell was set up to put the devil in, not that the devil is in charge of hell. The hell is a cell for the devil.
Right.
The devil's going to hell.
So the devil's,
like
the devil's in hell, too.
Everybody else, yeah.
The devil, he's in hell with everybody else, but he's being punished too?
Right.
I've never seen it that way. Okay. So the devil's down there. He wants to get out as bad as everybody else.
He's going to be right.
I would think so. Yeah.
That's what it's down. He wants to get out as bad as everybody else. So why don't they figure out a way? Since they're all in the same boat, he get out of hell.
Huh?
You're saying that the devil's down there. He's in prison too. You said the devil is down there in the same boat with everybody else.
I say that's where the devil's going, to hell, just like everybody else.
So he's not there already.
He's going
with everybody else.
The devil's not in hell, no.
Okay.
That's in the Bible.
The devil's not in hell.
That's in the Bible.
So where's
the
devil?
The devil's not in hell. The devil's on earth.
Where's he now?
Okay. In
earth. And the devil is the prince of the air. He roams around like a roaring lion to steal, kill, and destroy on this earth.
That's in the Bible. That's not,
now,
that's not me
you're
taking
saying
that up.
Is that, so what you're saying is that he's going to hell. It's destined for him. He has no choice. And so what he's trying to do is get people to go with him.
Right.
Yes. He wants
he's trying to take as many. He's trying to take as many souls as he can with him.
So he does that. He's going to torture them when they go with him?
No,
is that what's going on?
No. He's being tortured just like everybody else.
So what satisfaction would he get out of taking souls with him?
Well, his misery loves company.
There you go.
I did not know that the devil
would care less about company if he's going to burn for an eternity. Why would he care about having company?
Why don't the devil repent?
Well, because he's Satan. Satan thinks in satanic ways of killing
and making people miserable.
Hey, guys, hang on. I haven't heard from Jen. I want to hear from Jen.
Oh, Jen's here.
Why wasn't the devil drowned during the Great Flood? That would have just resolved the whole thing, right?
Huh? I'm sorry, yeah. Jen. I didn't hear you, Jen. Go ahead. What did you say?
Why didn't this God that you believe in just drown the devil during this Great Flood that supposedly happened?
Okay,
The flood
is a physical thing. The devil is a spirit. That's a spiritual thing. Devils, demons, and all that is spiritual. That's what hell is for. The hell is for spirit.
If it was created by this God that you believe in, can it not be destroyed by this God that you believe in?
Can what be destroyed?
Can God destroy the devil since he created
the devil? The devil has his time and place. That's what the whole purpose of hell was. Hell is for. And that's
but
where
then,
he
is. Why?
That's not, I like, hey, I don't know.
Hey,
like, why would, like, okay, think about even with the flood, like how
the flood is physical.
Why would all these pregnant women, babies, and children, and animals get drowned?
And flowers.
Right. Like, does that sound like a loving God to you?
Yes,
that doesn't sound like an entity to be worshipped and praised.
Exactly. And wouldn't an omniscient God know that he would have needed to flood and drown all of these people and just kill Adam and start over again? Why didn't he do that?
He didn't flood because of Adam. So
But when he created Adam and Eve into the apple, didn't he know that he would eventually need to murder like a million plus people? He knew that in the beginning, right?
It started off being
Earth, right? That's why he had Noah.
I think that doesn't make sense.
The minute Eve bit into that apple, he knew that the world would populate to a million plus people, and he would need to kill them all. Why not just kill Adam and Eve and start over?
First of all, Adam and Eve wasn't the only people on Earth.
Okay, even still, why would he wait till millions of people are on the Earth before he murdered them? Why not do it when it was like five?
To answer that question, I don't know.
What happened to the animals on the ark? Did this Noah go to each continent and drop off the animals that belong there? And what happened to the carcasses? What happened to all the dead bodies? What happened to all those things?
It was an animal shuttle boat.
What happened to the dead bodies and the animals? They decayed.
All the people drowned.
What happened to the
kangaroo fossils during their migration to Australia?
What happened to the kangaroo fossils?
Kangaroos only exist in Australia, so they would have had to travel thousands upon thousands of miles. Why is there no evidence of this great migration of kangaroos?
Hey, can I interject?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
One question. Go ahead, Norm. What are you
going to
say about that?
Now, the migration, the world is back then, because of evolution, right, as y'all put it, is not the same as it was now, as it is now.
So you can use our evolution to defend your point?
I use your evolution to defend my point.
Hey, Ken, I'd like to interject, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So Mike, I like what you said, because you have a pretty interesting point here. To go backwards a little bit, the Earth was not the same as it is now. I'm not a big statistician. I'm not a big history buff, but I believe that it was not separated into continents at that time. I don't know, but you know what? Talking about the migration of the kangaroos, I can't give you a solid answer to that. But what I can give you an answer on, and what everything boils down to, because I guarantee you, you're not going to go to hell because you don't know about where the carcasses are gone, who cleaned up, who was Cain's wife. What you're going to need to know is the ones, if you look at it as simply as this, if you think that you're a good person, I'd love to do a heart condition on you and ask you a few questions. Have you ever told a lie? The answer would probably be yes. And so what does that make you? It makes you a liar. Have you ever stolen anything? And no. I would assume if you're a liar, then you would be a thief. Now, again, I am assuming, for sake of time, I'm just going to speed through these real quick, because this is what matters. It doesn't matter whether you know about, like I said, the kangaroos. It doesn't matter whether you believe in evolution. It doesn't matter whether you believe in science. But what does matter is your heart condition on the day of judgment. And if you're found to be a liar, if you're found to be a thief, if you're found to be a blasphemer, which means you take God's name in vain, which means if you write a text message that says OMG on it, then you're lifting God's name to nothingness. And we know that God is more than nothingness. If you look at a woman to lust after,
we don't
you've
know
already committed
you believe
a, let
this.
Me finish. Let me finish, please. I haven't disrespected you, so please don't disrespect me. If you've looked at a woman to lust after them, you've already committed adultery. If you murder, and in God's eyes, if you merely call somebody a fool, you've committed murder in his eyes. So those are the statements that we'll be judged on. Those are the statements that we're going to be standing in the eternal courtroom of justice. And that is his measuring stick. His measuring stick will be the Ten Commandments, whether you believe it or not. And if you decide after this conversation to say, Matt, you're a crazy loon, we don't have any proof of this, I'm still going to love you. You're still going to be invited to be my friend on Facebook. But I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, you're going to be in trouble on Judgment Day, whether Joe believes it or not, whether I believe it or not, whether Ken believes it or not. It's not going to matter on whether we know all these things about the stickleback fish or the birds or Darwinian finches. It's going to come down to a measure of heart condition.
Matt, if I die and I'm in front of God, if he asks me to repent and I say I repent, would that be good enough?
I didn't hear you, Joe. Could you
say
that again?
If I die, well, let's say when I die, and I'm now in front of God, and he asks me if I'm going to repent, and I say, yes, I do. Is that good enough for me to go to heaven?
Okay, here's my answer to you, Joe. God has given you over 2,000 years to get right with him. On the day of your judgment, grace and mercy is cut off forever. It'll be too late.
Okay. So if I, as an atheist now, before I die, say I repent for whatever sin conforms to the definition by this particular God, is that good enough?
To answer your question, if you ask for if you confess and forsake your sin, it says in his word that God is righteous and faithful to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. He also says he'll separate your sin as far
as... Is that a yes or a no?
Yes, that
okay.
is a yes.
Okay. Now, you talked about what's not important as far as the flood and the carcasses and stuff. It's important because it's in a collection of stories that we're supposed to believe and pick out that this is going to happen to us if we don't do this. So we have these far-fetched stories. If there are stories in there that don't make any sense, who are we not to believe that the rest of the stories don't make any sense, that are made up and that's not true? They're not physically possible for you to get animals back and forth here and there, and you have no refrigeration system to keep the food and to keep the polar bears cold and keep the tigers hot. And mm-hmm. and to keep the ants alive and the flies alive, because you have the some animals don't live 40 days. Some insects
right.
don't live 40 days.
Don't forget marine life.
Yeah, marine. Right. Well, you know, I guess they must have been lucky because it's water. They love water. But
right.
but you're mixing the fresh water with the sea water, so that throws out of balance. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you have to consider before you start believing any other stories in the book.
Okay, and I respect that, Ken. And let me make sure that I'm articulate. I'm not saying that. Let me change what I said. I'm not saying that they're not important. But what I'm saying is, in the matter of judgment, We're not going to be judged on our knowledge of the evolutionary process or whether the stories in the Bible.
It's not about knowledge.
I'm sorry.
If your source has over 400 contradictions, how can we believe that your source is valid?
But they're contradictions because you believe that they're contradictions.
Right.
You know, I don't believe that they're contradictions. They're not contradictions. There are God's word is inerrant, which means free from flaw. It means it's perfect. But I believe that. You don't. So I
can't believe that.
I'm sorry?
You can't believe that, Matt. You can't believe that all his words are true. When he tells you to kill people, kill your babies and stone women, you can't believe that to be true.
I will absolutely assure you, Ken, as my friend, and I consider every single one of you on this show my friend. I will tell you that all 3,566,000 plus words in that Bible I believe to be true.
That's right, impossible. But what I'm saying is that
there's a verse on there that says in Jesus returns to Jerusalem, he's on one donkey, but then there are other verses that saying he's on two donkeys. Both of those can't be true. That's impossible.
Okay. According to you, it is impossible. But with God, there nothing is impossible. As it
well, please explain to me how one passage
can
say he rode in
Mike,
on one donkey,
and
the other
Mike.
Says he rode in on two, and they both be true.
Passage are you speaking of?
What passage are you speaking of? I'm not even.
But Matthew says he rode in on one donkey. Luke, Paul. And I forgot the other one says he rode in on two donkeys.
Okay, Mike,
his return to Jerusalem.
Okay, Mike, listen, I do have an answer for you because now you just brought it to my attention, okay? If you look at that, okay, if you look at the Gospels, because that's where a lot of people say that the contradictions come from, okay? But if I told you a story and you went and told five others people the same story, by the time you got to the fifth person, it would be a different perspective. Okay,
exactly.
So they're looking at it from different perspectives. Okay, it doesn't mean the story changes. It's just the author
means
sees
exactly
it from a different perspective.
If you're telling
so
one
you
story
on
you
every
call
word of the Bible
game,
to be the truth.
If you go from one person to the next to the next to the next, and that version is different, that exactly means the story has changed.
Okay. No. That's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. What
well,
I said
what it
is
that's
go,
not what
if
you said, but that's the truth of the matter.
Okay. Well, and I respect that. That's what you both believe. It's just why do Christians, and I'm talking, and Ken, you know, the ones that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the ones that self-professed Christianity, but are creating more atheists in this country. I'm talking about true believers.
2 minutes left.
I'm talking about one. I'm sorry. What did you say, Joe?
I said less than 2 minutes left.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying, why is it so? Why do you guys come down on me so hard when I just believe what I believe? I respect
you
guys.
You're the only one here.
Belief. Huh?
You're the only one here. Who else are we going to be down?
Okay.
We're not coming down on you. We're not coming down on you. We're coming on down on the, I guess, the story. We're breaking apart the story.
You.
I didn't mean to, and Ken, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make it personal like that. I just meant I don't know how to articulate, and I don't want to, I know that you want to close the show, but I'm going to say what an awesome experience this was. Ken, I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be a part of it, and anytime that I can help, please give me a call.
Thank you. We need to do this again, probably for part two or part three to continue this because we had a lot of participation, a lot of people wanted to talk, and we should do this again. I think this would work out really pretty great.
Well, I'm all over. I'm there. You just let me know when.
What's
okay, we'll
Facebook
post it.
Page?
Ken the Cookie Man.
Ken the Cookie
That's
Man.
That's my personal Facebook page. Just look Ken, right. Ken. The, yeah, just write me at applebrainlive.com.
And Detroit, it's Matthew Scott Senge, S-E-N-G-E. Look me up, man. I'd love to chat with you.
All right.